about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You two need to design a new PA system. One that can actually transmit a human voice. It needs to be wireless so executives can broadcast from anywhere in the building.
I suppose we could use the 20 terahertz oscillator.
Well, doesn't that burn through flesh?
Not always.
How about we use the 10 terahertz oscillator?
10, yes. Why don't we just hop on a winged unicorn and fly off to magic land?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Thanks for seeing me. I'm here because I'm thinking of doing some comedy.
Oh, right, like a comedy movie?
No, on stage. Stand-up comedy, live comedy of some kind.
Wow.
I'm a funny guy, aren't I? I'm funny, right?
Yeah.
And now, why don't you take 15 minutes and really think about whether or not you want to be part of this?
Our feature presentation.
Can I just not take that time and tell you no now? Is that
you're out? That's
I'm
it.
Out. Hey, party people! Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time for a Tuesday morning. We are well into fall now. By the way, I don't know if you've been in the stores lately, Lisa, but I was in a store the other day that had, no joke now, had Halloween, Christmas, and Thanksgiving stuff all up at the same time.
Christmas already?
Yes. It was a.
Did you pass the pencil?
Whoops! That was I didn't mean to hit that. It was disorienting. It was like being in a time machine. It was just weird. I was standing there looking around, and from one location, I could see decorations for all three holidays. And I thought, how can it be all three things at once? It just doesn't seem possible.
Wow! But it just every year it's earlier.
Yes, that's what happens once you. Well, you know, Target's already been running their Christmas commercials for their layaway program. So,
oh, I didn't know because I fast forward through commercials. I try to avoid as much as possible. But I was at Target yesterday and I saw the amazing amount of Halloween candy they had.
Oh my gosh, there's so much good. There's so much good new stuff this year too.
I know. I just want to live there.
I can't remember. What was the thing I saw that was so awesome? It was pumpkin Snickers. That's what I saw. That I thought I may have to try me some of that.
I know my mom and I were just like grabbing bags. Oh, this looks good. Let's see what this tastes like.
Beer Mug, we need to send you out to try some of the new Halloween candies this year.
It's a great idea.
Absolutely.
Right?
You have to. Absolutely.
He's in.
Well, we got a huge program today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to start with this story that's a little bit sad, but a little bit funny as well. Here's a guy from Maryland who was born with normal hearing, but went deaf by the time he was 10. He got one of those, what do they call the thing that Rush Limbaugh has, the cochlear implant?
Oh, the cochlear implant, yeah.
Yeah. He got one of those, and now he can hear pretty well. And he thought, wow, you know, there are a lot of kids out there who can't, for whatever reason, insurance or you know, poverty, they can't afford to get the implant. I want to do something for charity because it's made such a big impact on my life. I want to do something for charity to raise money for kids so they can get the implant, which is a very worthy cause. So what he decided to do was ride his bicycle across the country and visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. It was one of those deals where you can sponsor him, you can make a donation, you can sponsor him by the mile or something like that. You know, just like the AIDS walks or whatever.
Yeah. Now, how old is this kid?
He is, let's see how old he is. He's 24.
Oh, okay.
His name is Jacob Landis. He's from Annapolis, Maryland. Okay. So you're driving across, you're riding across the entire country if you're going to all 30 baseball parks.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are spread out. I mean, they're from, you know, all the way from Boston down to Miami over to, you know, to San Diego up to Seattle. So that's, you're doing the whole country, which he did, by the way, 29 ballparks. On his way to the 30th ballpark, which is where the Florida Marlins play, he was hit by a truck.
Oh, Bean.
He was hit by a Freightliner semi pulling a refrigerated trailer. The driver did not stop. He was not killed, by the way, but he is in pretty bad shape. Let's see if I can find the list of all of the things. Oh, here we go. He had a severe concussion, a broken nose, two cheekbone fractures, and a chipped tooth. He is still in the hospital, will be released soon, but will not be able to complete the ride in time down to Miami to see the game on September 24th, which is tonight. And, of course, the season ends next week. So he's out of luck. He's not going to be able to make it to Miami in time to see the 30th and final baseball game at a baseball park in his trip across the country.
Did he lose his hearing? Because that's nope. The cherry on top of that Sunday.
That would have been the best possible ending. So he cycled over 10,000 miles, visited 29 out of 30, and he's been advised to not ride his bike for 2 weeks as his injuries heal. And, of course, as I mentioned, by then the baseball season is over. So missed it by that much.
Listen, I'm surprised he didn't get hit more.
Out there
it's
on a bicycle?
So dangerous, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are a lot of places where you have, let's face it, if you're going to make any kind of distance time at all, you have no choice but to ride on the bigger roads.
Right.
And that's when you're just at, and you're riding at night, you're doing everything to get hit. You're absolutely right. But so close, I mean, a nice effort, and I'm sure he raised a lot of money for a worthy cause anyway, but it is kind of hilarious that he made 29.
29 out of 30, yeah, exactly. That's really sad.
All right, let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'm not feeling it.
Well, sorry about that. Musical guests on the program today. Very excited. Our friend Stryker did an interview that we're going to play for in about 20 minutes with Mike Einziger from Incubus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who is the co-writer and plays on this awesome new song from Avicii that we're playing called Wake Me Up. Aloe Black sings it. Both of those guys, Mike and Aloe, were in studio with Stryker. He interviewed them, and they did an acoustic version of Wake Me Up, which I can't wait to hear. That's in about 20 minutes. Mike's band member in the band Incubus, Brandon Boyd, is going to be joining us in studio, too. I know you're excited about that, Lisa.
I'm all dressed up.
He is in a new band called Sons of the Sea. Their new record is coming out today. We love having Brandon coming in. And he's also bringing in with him Brendan O'Brien, who's the producer of the record and also a musician in the band, who is just one of the greatest producers of all time. He's produced everybody. I mean, Rage Against the Machine and Korn and Bruce Springsteen and Incubus and Neil Young. And
wow.
He's just one of those guys who's just been, you know, behind the scenes on, you know, so many records I've loved for the last 30 years. So it's Brandon and Brendan coming in studio today. That's it.
You're going to screw that up.
Absolutely.
All right, people, over under. Let's do it.
That's at 8 o'clock this morning. Phil Kogan joins us from The Amazing Race, which is coming back this Sunday on CBS. We love Phil. It's always awesome when he comes in today. We've got more Depeche Mode tickets that you can win today. We've got tickets for Machete Kills 2 on the program today. And why Ralph hates us and everyone in radio is a conversation I'm interested in having with him.
Well, I think he just has a realistic view of the type of person that works at a radio station.
So you're with Ralph on this.
I'm a little bit with Ralph.
Both of you guys think you're too good to be in this business that has paid your mortgage for all these
pretty
years.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Speaking of Ralph, he had a very exciting and special appearance on television last night. Do you know about this yet, Lisa?
I don't.
Well, we're going to tell you about that, plus all the Showbiz Beat news with Ralph Garman right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Avicii, Wake Me Up, acoustic, performed right here live at the world famous Kirok, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
Is it Don Avicii?
No, no, it's not.
From Trading Places?
Nope, this is just Avicii.
I love that movie.
So, Ralph, in your long storied show business career,
yes,
rank last night's Ralph Garman appearance on the Jeopardy TV show for me.
Expected, you know. You know,
is it in the top 10?
When you get to be a star, Mike, of caliber, you assume that you're going to, you know, eventually.
Sure.
End up on
Jennifer
Jeopardy.
Aniston's going to be in the tabloids. Ralph Garman's going to be on Jeopardy.
Just
we just
the way
expect
it is.
It.
Just the way it is. When you garner that much attention, you're bound to show up. That's what.
Is it in the top 10 of things that have ever happened to you in your show business?
No,
career?
Of course not.
Really? Because it would be for me.
Well, because you're a dork. But it
it's
is
Jeopardy.
It's a fun little thing, but it's hardly in the top 10.
Has to be better than being on Family Guy, right?
No. Family Guy's much better.
How'd you find out about it?
People on the East Coast gave me the heads up as it was working its way across the country. I started to see things on Facebook and Twitter from my friends saying, dude, did you watch Jeopardy tonight? And I said, no, why? They said, you should watch. I think you'd be interested to see about midway through the show what happens. And so I watched, and here's what happened last night.
Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt,
what is the Joe Schmo show?
Boom.
No
Boom.
Way.
Boom.
What
right?
the hell?
I'm a Jeopardy clue.
Oh, my God.
About that.
I was a Jeopardy clue.
That's unbelievable.
I was on Jeopardy, baby.
I would never stop leading with that when I meet people if I had been a clue on Jeopardy. Oh, whoa. Hey,
see, that's Ralph why Garman. God won't let it happen to you, because that would be a horrible thing to do.
I'm Ralph Garman. Maybe you saw my name on Jeopardy that one time.
Who would say that? No, but lots of people gave me the heads up, and I got lots of tweets and emails and stuff about it. So thanks, everyone, who gave me the heads up. I appreciate it.
I think it's awesome, Ralph. Congratulations.
It was fun to see that last night.
But, very cool.
But
better than being on this show, though, right?
Well, yes, absolutely. But other than that, the rest of my career has been more satisfying. But it was weird to hear Alex Trebek say your name. It's strange.
It really was. And by the way, it was also additionally awesome that the guy knew the answer. That
yes.
It would have taken a tiny bit of the shine off of it if all three contestants just stood there blank, having no idea what the answer was.
There was that weird Jeopardy silence after the clue was given. Like, Joe Schmo Show. That's the answer we're looking for. Joe Schmo Show. Oh, and everybody's like sort of nodding their head, even though they don't know the answer. Yeah, so I'm glad the guy knew. And that guy won, too. So I'm glad he went on to win.
That's the question that put him in the lead, by the way.
Yeah.
So well done.
I was a $2,000 question, bitches. I wasn't one of those stinky $800 questions. $2,000. That means that's the good one. So just call me Jeopardy's Ralph Garman from now on.
Okay. Right. Done.
Speaking of game shows, you know, The Voice is very popular not only here in these United States, but also abroad. There's a Mexican Voice, you know.
I didn't know.
Elvez, I guess it's called.
Right.
That would make sense, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Paulina Rubio, one of the judges on that show. And a bit of a controversy. She apparently has met her newest boyfriend, a Venezuelan who performed on the show. He was a contestant on the show.
Wow. He scored. He went to be a contestant and ended up nailing one of the judges?
Yes. Showed up on the show. The 28-year-old gentleman did. And Paulina Rubio, who's now 42.
Nice.
Was very interested in him. And now he is her boy toy. The only person unhappy with this arrangement? Apparently his wife.
Oh.
And their two kids.
Oh.
Who he has left in order to be with Paulina Rubio.
I believe he made the right choice.
I do not believe that's the case. But Paulina Rubio, pretty good deal.
Yeah.
But you don't leave your wife and kids. You bang her, don't get me wrong, but you don't leave your wife and kids for her. Come on.
No exceptions?
No exceptions.
No matter how hot the chick is, or how perfect she might be for you, or how happy you might be together, you still don't upgrade?
I think once you have the kids, you've pulled the cord. You got to make some choices in your life. You know what I mean? Sometimes it can't always be about you.
So Charlize calls you today and says, "I was blind, but now I see, Ralph. You and I should be together." You still say no because now you're invested in your little family.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't even understand the world you live in.
You got to make choices sometimes when it comes to kids. Just adults, everybody can get over it, but kids don't get over it.
Yeah.
Speaking of relationship news, Robert Pattinson has a new girlfriend. If you believe RadarOnline.com, he showed up at the birthday party of an actress named Shoshana Bush. You may not know Shoshana Bush, but he was at her birthday party last Saturday night and apparently showed up with a smoking hot brunette that he was all over. They were all over each other and everybody was talking about it. I was more shocked that he was at Shoshana Bush's birthday party. She's an actress who appeared, her biggest role was in a movie called Dance Flick. That was from the Wayans brothers. It was a spoof on all dance movies, like Scary Movie was to horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And no word on the identity of the mystery brunette, but apparently they were quite public with their affections. So it looks like our Pats is over K-Stews. Ready to watch another NCIS?
No.
CBS is planning another spinoff. Of course, you have NCIS, which is still one of the biggest hits on television.
It's number one. Yeah, it's a number one. I mean, football is obviously the biggest show, but in terms of just regular programming, NCIS is still the biggest show on TV.
I don't know anybody who watches it, and it's a monster.
Just my dad, just the chief. That's it.
Then they did NCIS LA, the spinoff.
That's the one with LL and Robin, right?
That's right, Chris O'Donnell. And now the next one is going to be set in New Orleans, apparently. NCIS New Orleans. Mark Harmon will be the producer, and they're committed to it. CBS is going to put it on television.
I hope they call it NCIS No, so I can just not watch it.
And while we're talking about ratings, as you can imagine, Breaking Bad's second-to-last episode did very well for itself, pulled in 6.6 million viewers. Even more impressive when you consider it was up against the Emmys, NFL football, and the series finale of Dexter over there on Showtime.
Wow. You don't watch Breaking Bad, right?
I am... way, way, way behind. So I'm waiting until it's all over. Then I'm going to get the box sets and I'll sit down and I'll mainline it.
Robert Forster was a guest guest actor this Sunday night's episode. He's incredible.
Yeah.
God, I love watching that guy.
One of those great old school actors. Quentin Tarantino loves him, puts him in a lot of his work. Speaking of Dexter, Dexter managed to pull in a record 2.8 million viewers on Showtime for its finale on Sunday night.
Disappointed every one of them.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'm halfway through the finale. I didn't get to finish it yesterday.
I thought
terrible is it so far, Lisa?
You know, it's not what you'd hope.
Yeah.
I think that's people's problem with it, is that they had expectations about how they think it should have ended. I think this is
pitch perfect.
I just wanted it to be plausible and not silly. I guess that's what I was looking for.
It all worked for me. The whole show had always been sort of hyper real. It was never exactly a realistic drama. Considering this guy's going around for years and years and years just offing people.
In this one city. And the city's so full of serial killers.
Yeah, it's very much sort of a hyper-realistic show, so that didn't bother me at all. But I thought it was just spot on how we don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it yet. But I thought how it ended was just right. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress, writer, Nia Vardalos.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to show you what kind of list of celebrity birthdays we have today, boys and girls. I'm starting off with Nia Vardalos.
Is she the big fat Greek woman?
She sure is. She had that big fat Greek wedding, and then she lost all that weight and then became unemployable. She's 51 years old today. Actor Kevin Sorbo, that's right, TV's Hercules, he's 55 years old today. And actor Gordon Clapp, who played Greg Medavoy in NYPD Blue. My old co-star, Gordon Clapp. He is 65 years old today. Gordon Clapp, never once a clue on Jeopardy. Just want to put that out there. I'm just saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
When I'm wiser and I'm older, all this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost.
Yeah! Right on.
So that's what that awesome song Wake Me Up sounds like without Avicii. The man whose record it is on is called Wake Me Up. That is Aloe Black singing. Mike Einzinger from Incubus playing guitar. They wrote the song together. And Stryker had them in studio in the Red Bull Soundspace a couple of days ago. And they did an awesome interview. The first one that they've done together that I know of, talking about how that great song came to be. Listen up.
All right, I'm Stryker at the world famous K-Rock with Aloe Black and Mikey Einziger here, and one of the biggest songs, not only of the summer, but of the year, is Wake Me Up from the new Avicii record, and these two guys, very much responsible. So Mikey, I want to get right into it with you. How did you even meet Avicii? How did the song come about? But the first one, how did you meet Avicii?
Through Avicii's A&R guy. Got an email from him just saying, hey, this guy Avicii is in town. He wants to write music with you. He's interested in writing songs. He wants to make an album, which is something that he hadn't done before. And I was interested in that because he's had some really great songs in the past, but I wasn't quite sure how that would work because I don't really know how he works, and he's a DJ and a producer, but I just wasn't, I wasn't that familiar with his work. So, we got together, him and I, we just talked about, writing songs together. And
when you first talked, does he come over to your house or do you go to Denny's and eat? How does that happen?
He came. I have a studio here in Santa Monica.
Okay, so you guys met
He came to the studio in Santa Monica. And it became obvious pretty early on in our discussion that we could do something, that it could be fun, that we shared a lot of musical ideas. Seemed like he wanted to do things that were different for how people usually do things in his world, that he operates in the more electronic music sort of universe, which I have not really had that much interaction with. So for me, it was kind of an opportunity. I saw it as an opportunity to do something new and different.
The music of the song, how much was done before Aloe was even in the picture, or was he there from, or Aloe, you can answer, were you there in the very first step of the song Wake Me Up?
I guess we do have to ask Mike about this.
Yeah, we'd already written like most of the chord progressions and the arrangements and stuff. Aloe came in. We were like, we don't have lyrics to the song, we wrote the musical part, but the musical part felt really good and felt really exciting. But and actually, we got to this point where Tim was like, I gotta go. I've got a session with this guy Aloe, And I was like, oh, cool. He's got an awesome voice. Why doesn't he come here and sing with, you know, this is fun. He came in and he brought lyrics in, and it was like the rest was almost just like magic.
How many songs did you bring with you that you had written, Allo?
I came to that session with one strong song in mind, and it was this idea of Wake Me Up. I have a whole bunch of others, but I just felt like, you know, I'm going to meet basically two captains of industry, and I'm not going to go in empty-handed. I want to go, you know, showing that I came to play ball. And I walked in, and of course, they had already created the chord progression, and when I heard it, I felt like what I had prepared was just right. And I started singing a vocal melody on top, and it really worked. I felt like it was magical immediately. But then when we finally put it down and recorded it, right? Mike was in there on Pro Tools recording his guitar, and then I went in the booth and he recorded me on the Pro Tools, and it just felt amazing.
Was it a one-day process for this song to get done? From the time you went to Malibu, did you do it that day, Mikey?
Yeah, pretty much.
I was home by midnight.
Really? Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. It happened fast. It was, like I said, it had this momentum, this ineffable magic sort of momentum that I've experienced it with in other songs. So it was like, in certain ways, it was familiar. It doesn't happen very much, but when it does, it's like, it's really, you can feel it.
So Mikey, you've played with Incubus in front of crowds of 90,000 or more. You've sold millions of records around the world. Did you think this particular, and you've had tons of songs on K-Rock, did you think that this song would be on K-Rock?
No. I had no idea that this song would be on K-Rock, and it's awesome. I think it's so cool that, like, a song like this, like Wake Me Up, it's so unexpected that, I mean, every time we write music, every time I write music, I'm sure it's the same for you, like, we don't expect people to we hope people like it, but I mean, when they do, it's always surprising to me.
That is Allo Black. This is Mike Einziger, and together they are such a great team together. The acoustic version of Wake Me Up, make sure to see that. I am Stryker at K-Rock, the Avicii album called True, and thanks for sitting down with me, you guys.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys very much. You're so good. All right, over and out. Stryker, K-Rock, goodbye.
Tuesday morning!
Okay, go on.
The world famous K-Rock. That one wasn't quite over when I started, I guess, is what happened there. Hey, who wants to go see Depeche Mode at Staples Center this Saturday night, plus a meet and greet with the band? We'll give you a chance to win those tickets right now. If you're a Depeche Mode fan, you'll have to earn them. We're playing a game in about 10 minutes or so, so give us a call at 1-800-520-1067 if you love Depeche Mode. Dave, I don't completely understand what our friends at Red Bull were doing down in Long Beach over the weekend, but you were there for something called the Flutog?
The Red Bull Flutog, yeah.
What is that? Something to do with jetpacks? Something to do with flying?
No, it's when people make these little vehicles that they're supposed to fly, mm-hmm. and they jump off a pier and they see how far they could fly, and go as far as they can into the harbor. And it's awesome because
they're jumping from into the water, though.
Exactly.
Okay, so no one gets hurt.
No, not at all.
And how were some of these devices? You were one of the judges for this. You actually got to see everybody turn up and try to fly, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was things from boom boxes to a buffalo to a house from up. It was awesome. But there was this team called the Chicken Whisperers, which were like they were dressed up in what, like chicken outfits with this big wing, like weird boomerang shape type vehicle, and it just flew. They actually set the world record that day.
258 feet flew, Lisa.
It was awesome.
258 feet.
That's amazing.
That's incredible. It was a huge event. Over 100,000 people were down there. You were one of the judges. Who else was judging?
The Workaholics, Robbie Madison, who's a Red Bull athlete, Yael Ramos, who's a personality at MUN 2, which is like a Spanish MTV, mm-hmm. our own Kevin Ryder.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And Carson Daly was there helping as well.
Wasn't there another big-time celebrity name that was on that list originally,
yes, saw? There was. The Hoff was supposed to be there, but 5 minutes before we were supposed to arrive, he canceled.
Really?
Why?
Yes.
Why?
You don't think it had anything to do with us.
I don't think so. But Red Bull did get an email the night before from his publicist saying, hey, who are the other judges? Yeah, they never responded. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden at 8:25 in the morning before we were supposed to report, they get an email saying, oh, the Hoff is not going to be able to make it.
We love the Hoff, though. Why would the Hoff diss us like that? You were going to be hanging out with David Hasselhoff
all
day.
It was going to be awesome.
Well, we wanted to find out more about this. I hope it's just some sort of misunderstanding. I hope David Hasselhoff did not cancel because Kevin and Dave from the Kevin and Bean Show were going to be judges. So we actually have the Hoff on the phone right now. Maybe we can clear this whole thing up and be friends again. Hi, Mr. Hasselhoff.
Hey, Kevin Bean. The Hoff loves to rock. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, we're doing great. I'm so glad to talk to you. It sounded like there might have been a little bit of a misunderstanding at that Red Bull event.
No, I don't know what you guys are talking about. What is that?
Well, this was, you were going to be one of the judges for the Flu Talk event along with K-Rock's Kevin. And,
oh, right, yeah.
And then you canceled like right before the thing was supposed to start, and we were just trying to figure out, we hope that doesn't have anything to do with not wanting to hang out with K-Rock.
No, you know the Hoff is so busy with all my many showbiz things.
Really? What do you have going on right now, David?
Sometimes it's hard for me to get a day off.
Can you name maybe one thing that you're actually doing right now in show business?
Yeah, I'm one of the judges on the the Million Second March.
Nope, that was a TV show that's not even on anymore. That was the Million Second Quiz. It's gone. And there were no judges. There was just a host.
I was the judge behind the scenes. also, there was a call, and I had to fight crime with my car that talks to me.
Right.
So I had to,
40 years ago, that was you, a Knight Rider.
A princess.
So,
who was, Zelda was her name.
Right. And, again, you're getting confused with roles you used to play, but what happened on the Saturday morning where you woke up and you were supposed to be a judge in Long Beach, and then your people just called and canceled you 5 minutes before the thing starts?
Well,
you're just
not
going to
show. I was on the beach, and somebody was drowning, so I had to grab my thing and run down the beach really
Baywatch,
slowly.
The 80s?
And give her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation.
That's not happening either. This is all stuff you used to do. You're doing nothing now, including showing up to events that you're supposed to be at that they advertised.
I was the leader of an organization called SHIELD, and I had to stop terrorists from poisoning the water supply.
Nope, that was the old SHIELD TV show. You've been replaced. There's a much better, newer show with the same concept now. Sorry. Hoff, you got nothing going on. You should have been there. We missed you. We wanted to hang out with you for the day.
Kevin makes fun of me.
Now we've got it.
I don't like it. Hold on a sec. I need a little, I think my morning protein shaker.
Be careful, David, because this always goes horribly wrong.
Oh, that's better. Yeah, you guys are always making fun of me on your show, and I don't like it.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to make fun of. I mean, you're a humorous guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay. What's in that that jar, or bottle, or glass?
Protein shake.
Really? Because it sounds like it's already.
It's got vodka in it.
And, oh, there you go.
Scotch and Jägermeister.
Oh, God,
that's quite a potent combination this time of day, David.
Sounds awful.
Raw eggs.
Yeah.
Tabasco sauce.
It's quite a recipe.
Worcestershire sauce.
How's that taste?
Kale. It's got kale.
It's
in
got
it.
Kale. Well,
yeah. Oh, so it's
that's
healthy. Okay.
Yeah, kale's a superfood.
That's what I had to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You okay? Mm-hmm. Oh, please don't drink anymore,
okay.
David.
I
think you've had enough.
Flu Talk's a mess.
No, Flu Talk was a fine event. You just weren't there.
I once was driving a car off a pier into the lake.
I don't doubt that.
Nobody ever gave me nothing.
You got a DUI.
I was dressed like a chicken.
I'm not surprised by that.
I didn't get the world record.
Oh, this now it's sad now. Please stop.
Nope.
Hoff.
Oh, this is a mess.
Hits him fast, didn't it?
I don't like Kevin.
Okay, well.
I don't like David either.
You guys will be okay.
Oh, is it sweater time already?
Oh, what did I do?
Shut up.
We just want to be friends, Hoff. That's all.
You don't want to be my friend. I don't have any friends.
Oh, come on. Don't cry. All right. Please stop.
Potty bus. Everybody on the potty bus.
Okay. Listen, we have to get Hoff the foe. We've got a very busy show to get to.
Why don't you F Hoff?
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. A lot of great shows this fall, including Depeche Mode this weekend, sold out at Staples Center. We're going to give you tickets to see the band and a meet and greet backstage with a little game we like to call the Hardest Game in the World Part 2.
It's the Hardest Game in the World 2. The Revenge of the Game Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
Indeed it is. Mr. Announcer Man, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
So for years, we played the hardest game in the world, and that game was not easy, if I recall.
It was the hardest game in the world.
This one, the hardest game, too, is even harder.
Electric Boogaloo, Part 2, Die Harder, Revenge.
All right, the phones are packed. We're going to go to them in a moment, Mr. Announcer Man. Please tell us how the game is played.
We'll be playing for you Depeche Mode songs. All you need to do is identify what song we play for you, and you'll be in the drawing for the tickets. Oh, I almost forgot. They'll be backwards! Yeah!
All right, it sounds harder than it is. Let's go to contestant number one. Who's that going to be?
First up is Crystal. I think I know Crystal. Crystal, is your last name meth?
No.
Oh, then I don't know you.
All right, Crystal.
Good morning,
so you
Kevin.
Have.
Good morning, Dean. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning.
Hi, Crystal.
Good morning to you. Thanks so much for calling, and good luck. As Mr. Announcer Man explained, we're going to play a Depeche Mode song. We can only play it once for you. It's going to be backwards. It's going to be a part of the song you'll recognize, but it'll be backwards. You just tell us what the title is. If you're right, you go into the drawing. So listen up, and good luck.
Thank you. No clue. Can you play it one more time, please?
Again, we can only play it once, but if you don't know, go ahead and take a guess. You know some Depeche Mode songs. You might get lucky.
Should Be Higher?
I'm sorry. We were looking for Somebody.
Thank you.
I think that's where you hit it.
I don't think that was the right song.
No, I don't understand.
That was not the right song. Crystal, this is the right song. Here, we'll listen up one more time.
Okay. Somebody?
Well, I gave the answer. What the hell is going on in this game?
I
want somebody
to share. Well,
I already gave the answer before we played the clip. Now, how does that work? Mr. Announcer Man, what's happening right now?
Really hard for us, too.
This is a surprise, but Beer Mug screwed up.
is he playing the wrong file?
Yeah, from a totally different band.
Should we go to, like,
different
the
song,
next
different
song?
Band is what he was playing.
That's what happened.
Well, that game is really hard for playing a completely different band.
Tell them it's the name of a band and then play a different band, then try to figure it out.
Well, we're out of time now. Ladies and gentlemen, Crystal is going to see Depeche Mode at Staples Center.
Good job.
Thanks for playing the hardest game in the world. Thanks, Mr. Announcer Man.
Oh, fire beer mug.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. So I was on hold for the hardest game in the world, too. Which I will now call the easiest game in the world since the winner was given the answer. I'm a huge Depeche Mode fan. I've been trying to win for weeks. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll try again tomorrow. Fire beer mug. That's what Stacey has said.
So Stacey didn't get to play the game? She didn't get a chance to play the game?
No, because we used up all of our time trying to figure out how the game was effed. That's why. So the contestants on hold didn't get a chance to
play. I got you. Well, that seems good.
It sure was funny, right?
Yeah, it's hilarious. I'm still laughing about it. And by laughing, I mean gritting my teeth and punching walls.
But Muggs will have a great story to tell to his other unemployed friends about his last day at K-Rock, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
All right, 6:55 Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in despite beer mug time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's Jeopardy's Ralph Garman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who's Ralph Garman?
Aren't you Jeopardy's Ralph Garman? I understand you need to be introduced from now on.
I'm sorry. What could you possibly be referring to?
Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt.
What is the Joe Schmo show?
Yay!
Well, I guess now we've all been clues on Jeopardy, right? Am I the last one here?
Actually, I just, you know? It's no, not I
been
not me.
You've never been a
no,
clue
I'm
on
afraid, no.
I beer mug? I'm not even going to ask beer mug.
Just you.
Wow,
just
that's weird. That's strange.
Jeopardy's Ralph Garman, just you.
I figured by now we'd all have been. We've all would have just come tripping over the luxurious tongue of Alex Trebek. Just would have just wrapped his mouth around our names as it came out of his sweet Canadian mouth.
Sounds a little sexual.
Yeah, it does. That's right, baby. They don't call him Alex Trebek for nothing. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
Thanks to everybody giving the heads up about that last night. It was fun. It was good times. You know what else is good times? If you're Jason Sudeikis and you're marrying Olivia Wilde. Those are good times, right?
Well, yeah.
That works.
When we first heard this story, we thought, well, you know what? Jason Sudeikis, funny guy, charming guy. He must have set his sights on Olivia Wilde. And sure, he's not, you know, in the same league as her when it comes to attractiveness. But he must have worn her down with his charm and make him laugh, make him breakfast, my old saying. And he was able to, you know, charm his way into her world. And with all that hard work finally paid off when he landed her. We could not have been more wrong.
Really?
Olivia Wilde saw Jason Sudeikis on the set of Saturday Night Live several months before they started dating, but he never asked her out. So Olivia Wilde wrote down her phone number, had a male friend pass it on to Jason with one instruction written on it, use it. It was written above the phone number. She pursued him!
You know, sometimes when you look like Olivia, guys don't. They're too scared.
Well, she was also married, remember, for a long time up until, you know, fairly recently. She got a divorce, too, so she wasn't available, but...
She'd already been dating some people.
Yeah, she had been divorced by the time she met Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
I'm saying she sought him out and passed her phone number to him saying, use it, call me.
Yeah.
Wow. I think he's a good-looking guy, by the way. I mean, I'm no judge, but...
He's not bad.
All right, Bean, whatever you say.
And obviously, he's hilarious, too, so that's very attractive to the ladies, I'm sure.
Well... Just saying. I don't know what he's packing. That's
pretty amazing, though, when Olivia Wilde is trying to get you to call her. That's pretty
call
incredible.
Me. Oh, please.
I'll go to the Girl Network and I'll find out what he's packing. I'll let you know.
Thanks, Lisa. Okay. I appreciate it. Tadoff Swindler is in the news.
What's she up to?
Apparently, being a horrible music star isn't enough for her. Now she wants to be a horrible movie star as well. She is desperate, according to sources close to her camp, to become a leading lady. She wants to be in the movies.
Yep, she's appeared in a couple of things and has not gotten tremendous reviews yet.
Wow, you are such an apologist. She has decided she wants to do one of the following. She'd like to do a remake of A Star Is Born, Pretty Woman, or Gone with the Wind.
Oh, my God.
I want her to do all three of those.
Where is this story coming from? This
I
sounds
want her
made
to do
up.
All three of those. So we can just point and laugh and just pelt her with bricks and old tomatoes. It's coming from the National Enquirer. Mike Walker of the National Enquirer reports that she's looking into doing those three remakes.
Well, good luck with that.
Oh, I can't wait for all those films to come out. I hope they're in 3D IMAX. And speaking of remakes, Cher has announced her 2014 Dress to Kill tour and the dates that she'll be performing. When was Cher's farewell tour? When did that happen? What year was that?
It was about 10 years ago, wasn't it?
That's what I'm saying. No, you don't get to go out on another tour, Cher.
But this is the farewell film.
She's not even calling it anymore. She's finally being honest. The Dress to Kill tour kicks off in Phoenix on March the 22nd next year. It runs through July 11th. She's got a new album out today. Yeah. Cher has a new album out today.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she does. This is a woman who retired and went away forever 10 years ago.
Liars. They're all liars. Real quickly, because it is Tuesday, quick list of new CDs out today besides Cher. Sons of the Sea by Sons of the Sea.
Very excited about that. Our friend Brandon Boyd and Brendan O'Brien are both in the band. They're both going to be with us in an hour talking Sons of the Sea and performing live here on K-Rock.
Pure Heroine by Lorde. Mm-hmm. But it's heroine, H-E-R-O-I-N-E. See, she's a heroine.
Fire beer mug.
All right. This is Icona Pop by Icona Pop.
Can't wait.
Nothing Was the Same by Drake. Mechanical Bull by Kings of Leon. Get Wet by Cruella.
Wow, big day.
It is a big day. The 2020 Experience 2 of 2 is the second album by Justin Timberlake by that name coming out today. Dream Theater by Dream Theater. These bands need to get a little bit more creative about the names of their albums, for God's sakes. And Metallica Through the Never, music from the motion picture, the documentary slash movie about Metallica by Metallica. You can check all that out today. Today's celebrity birthday is Nina Vardalos, actress and writer who had a big hit with My Big Fat Greek Wedding. She's 51 years old today. Actor Kevin Sorbo, best known as Hercules on television, 55 years old. And Gordon Clapp from NYPD Blue, 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Imagine Dragons on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. By the way, red carpet tickets for Machete Kills coming up in the Ralph Garman Showbiz Report. Excuse me, Jeopardy's Ralph Garman's Showbiz Report later on today. And we'll tell you about the new K-Rock Microbrew, Brandon Boyd and Brendan O'Brien from Sons of the Sea here in less than an hour from right now on K-Rock. Ralph, I was out last week and you did a story on the showbiz that I was fascinated with and I want to hear some more details about it. It involves Justin Theroux. I guess he did an interview, with GQ or one of those magazines? And he was talking about a little potential trouble at home with Jennifer Aniston. What happened?
Well, they're moving into their Bel Air mansion. And Jennifer didn't want his art pieces. She banned his beautiful, tasteful artwork from being part of the decor of their Bel Air mansion, and he was understandably upset, I think.
Now, this is an interesting story because anytime you put two households together, you may be compatible as humans, but sometimes your taste, your aesthetics may differ.
Yes.
And you might not like your boyfriend to move in with all of his sports memorabilia, for instance, and you may not like your girlfriend to move in with her collection of 2,000 teddy bears. So sometimes you do kind of bump heads a little bit, right?
It always seems like the guy ends up giving up whatever it is has to be given up.
Well, when it comes to taste.
How dare you, Lisa? Anyway, this guy had a lot of artwork, Justin Theroux, and it was unique in the sense that it was wax museum pieces that were handmade from the 1800s, and they were a series of open mouths and tongues and throats in various stages of devastating STDs like syphilis, gonorrhea, and others.
That's gross.
This is the stuff like they show to warn people away from...
Like in health class. Yeah. In seventh grade, the guy would come in and say, this is what your throat will look like if you get syphilis and it goes untreated. And would show all the sores and blisters.
Oh,
and
my God.
Horrible byproducts of syphilis and gonorrhea and others. This is a wagon wheel table that he has that included in the table are these wax museum pieces that were handmade doctor's tools to show people what the ravages of syphilis and gonorrhea and other STDs would look like.
It's so much better in a wagon wheel table.
It is, really. When you're sitting down there for cocktails and you just look down and see gonorrhea throat. By the way, they're playing The Troop tomorrow night. You should check them out.
The conversations that sparks.
Jennifer did not want that to be part of the decor in their new home, which I think is just really pig-headed of her.
Well, I'm sure he has a man cave or something,
and
right?
Also, Lisa, she didn't want his candy dish filled with human teeth out at any point
what
in their home.
What is wrong with him?
He's like Bean. This guy's like Bean.
That's creepy.
Why is she uptight?
Serial killer artwork.
First of all.
Candy. Oh.
A candy dish filled with teeth. I know a dentist who saves those for me, Justin Theroux said. People often think they're little mints. Don't eat the teeth, he warns potential guests.
By the way, how could you not want a candy dish full of human teeth in your house? That's awesome, first of all, right?
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah, you should marry Justin.
You guys should.
And second of all, she's definitely uptight. We want to take your telephone calls if you've been in a situation like this where you're merging households, for instance, and there's a discrepancy over the taste factor of what goes in the house, what stays and what goes. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. And I guess we could expand this, Ralph, to as relationships get more serious and you start to think about what you're willing to put up with and what you want to live with, there may be other things that aren't even possession related that you may ask your significant other to give up to make the relationship work, right?
Concessions often have to be made. Sometimes you have to give something up that really bugs your significant other in order for you guys to carry on. And usually it's involved when you get married or when you move in together, something of that sort of committed, more intense nature rather than just dating. But a lot of people have had to give up a lot of stuff, not just possessions, but behaviors. You know, I had a friend of mine who his girlfriend wouldn't move in with him until he promised to quit biting his nails. because that made her nuts.
Oh, wow.
And he had, like, raw, bloody, like, fingertips sometimes. And it was just, it was a deal breaker for her. She said, I love you, but you really need to get a handle on that particular habit because I cannot coexist with somebody
it's
like
disgusting.
That.
It's disgusting.
And that was her thing. And he did. He stopped it. But, you know, sometimes it's for the better. I think, you know, people will make changes for you in the better. But sometimes, like, this Jennifer Aniston bitch who just says, yeah. Oh, no, I don't want your syphilis throats in our house. Like, come on.
Now, it's fun for everyone.
What would have happened?
Everyone loves a good syphilis throat.
Again, we'll get right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Talking about that concession, that thing that you were asked to give up or the thing that you asked your significant other to give up in order to take the relationship to the next step. Now, it didn't work out this way for you, Ralph, because you married an awesome chick. But what would have happened if Carrie had said, Ralph, I'm all in. I want to get married. I want to make my life with you. But I'm sorry. The Batman stuff has to go.
See,
what would you have done?
Well, that's a good point is that sometimes these sorts of demands or the concessions that need to be made often make me wonder about the nature of the relationship and the person that you're with.
Right.
I guess if it's something heinous, like if you have a mullet or something that they insist on you cutting, that makes sense. But if someone really loves you, they're not going to demand that you give up something that you enjoy. What they might do, and what we did in my case, in my household, was you make a concession. My wife said, you're entitled to, I know you love your Batman collection, it's great, but you just have to keep it to one room in the house, and it can't be all over the place. Like in my old apartment, it used to be all over the place. She goes, let's just have one area for that that's yours, and you can have sort of like a man cave, and that can be your area, but it doesn't have to be everywhere through the house. And that was a concession we made, and it was relatively easy to make. But she would never in a million years would ever ask me to give up something that really brings me a lot of joy and pleasure. She would just wouldn't do that.
Right. All right, we want to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Here's a perfect example to get us started. This is going to be Jeff. He's on line three, and he has got he's got something that he was asked to give up. Let's find out how it went. Jeff, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Jeff,
what happened?
What did you have to give up, man?
Well, when we got married, it actually came in right after we got married, but I'm a hunter, and I went on an elk hunt, and I had a full-size mounted elk head from the shoulders out bugling with his head turned and then a full-sized mounted black bear.
Oh dear God.
And she didn't want your elk head and your black
you
bear
had
in the house?
Full-size bear stuffed.
I think we're losing Jeff.
Jeff, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, you're breaking up, but she insisted.
Yeah, so I had a full-size bear in the corner, and she decorated for Christmas, put, like, sunglasses on it and a Santa Claus hat and all that kind of stuff.
That's hilarious!
So, besides the fact that you're a terrible person for killing a bear, what ended up happening with it? Did your wife make you get rid of it, or do you still have it in your house?
No, I had to give away the bear and the elk head. This beautifully mounted elk head that was in a bugle mount had to be reduced to antlers. At least she let me keep the antlers.
Oh, man.
By the way, his wife is pretty gutsy to ask a guy with a rifle to give up anything. So I guess I'm glad it worked out. It could have been a lot worse for you, Jeff. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate you listening.
Well, notice she didn't ask until after they were married, by the way, because that would have been a deal breaker if she had asked beforehand.
Probably.
Let's try Howie. He's on line four. He's up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Howie. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What'd you give up?
I had to give up a vintage beer can collection. Had over 400 different beer cans from all around the world, ranging from like the 50s up to the 80s. And when I got married, I had to give it up.
And how did you feel about that?
Kind of pissed off. Took me a few years to collect all those.
Why did she insist on you giving it up?
It only took a few years, you guys.
That's a lot of time.
400 different kinds.
Stop, Elisa. You understand.
Pretty much she replaced it with a bunch of wedding photos and a bunch of couple pictures.
But so, you got no class.
But why did she insist of you getting? What was it about the collection that bothered her, Howie?
She's saying it was, you know, something from my past and it was immature, so I had to go.
Oh, you married a bad woman.
Yeah, that's not a good sign. You guys won't stay married. What did you do? Did you find? Were you able to find somebody to sell it to?
Unfortunately, not. I think I have $10 for all of it.
Oh, Howie.
A life's work for $10 right there. Poor Howie. All right, man. Thank you for the call. Jackie, you hang on. German, you too. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on this topic coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Justin Theroux in an interview says that his girlfriend, who's moving in with Jennifer Aniston, was not crazy about his beautiful wax museum pieces of throats and mouths and tongues with various STDs. Infected, man. Bubbly, probably gooey.
Yeah.
not crazy festering. About it being in the house. Festering.
All
yeah.
those good words.
Pus, everything.
Has your wife been ever asked you to get rid of the John Wayne Gacy paintings from serial killer John Wayne Gacy that you have?
Only 40 million times, Ralph, but the what we ended up doing is exactly what you did with Batman, which is it's just in my tiny little corner of the house.
It's in your kill room? Anyway. Just keep it in the kill room?
It's essentially in the kill room. Yeah. So that's the topic on the table right now at 1-800-520-1067. We're talking about the concessions you sometimes have to make in a relationship. And let's start with Jamie. This is a big one. This is the type of thing that I can see some couples not being able to get past and ending up breaking up over. And it involves pets. Jamie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi. So my husband, well, boyfriend at the time, asked me to move in. And there were a few concessions that I had because he's a surfer, skateboarder. He had buddies living on the side of the yard. I was like, I can deal with the buddy. You can't. I just can't deal with your cats.
Is it allergies?
I said it was.
It's just the cat sucks.
Jamie.
You did the right thing, Jamie.
So you made him get rid of his pets before you would move in.
Oh, yeah. Two of them collectively. And their names were Kaka and Ganja.
Oh, jeez. You got rid of him.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it.
You wouldn't have done it?
I wouldn't have done either. I wouldn't get rid of my dogs for a woman.
This is wrong with you people. But they're animals, and these are people, and this is love, and this is a relationship.
She made it up. She didn't even have allergies. That's not love.
Cats
That's
suck.
BS.
She's right. Cats
you can
suck.
Deal with them.
No, you can't. Yeah. Cats have to go.
No, you can't. But he did have, I mean, he played me because he gave them to the crazy cat lady next door.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he still had them over for fun time.
Yeah.
All right, sure. Ralph, let's talk about you for a second. What if you had Reggie, your adorable, sweet, beloved little dog, Reggie?
Yes,
what if you had Reggie and then your girlfriend at the time was going to move in and she said, I'm not moving in if you have a dog?
So it's me living with my now wife, Carrie, or keeping my dog?
Yes.
Well, the dog gets the a
new home.
That.
The dog gets a new home.
How dare
you? I'm not saying you don't put it down, but you just find another place for the dog to live. And you know what? It's a dog. It'll be very happy wherever it's living.
You know how your Batman stuff makes you happy? That's how my dog makes me happy.
Well, maybe some penis would make you happier. Just saying.
I can find new penis.
All right. Jamie, thank you for the call. Let's go to, speaking of penises, let's go to Jackie. Jackie's on line 5. Believe it or not, her concession item involved a penis. Hi, Jackie. Welcome to the show.
Jackie had to give up her penis.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Jackie.
You had to get an operation and your penis removed?
Oh, you're close. Oh. No, what happened was I had this giant inflatable penis, and I had it signed at Warped Tour by all my favorite bands at the time when I was a teenager. And when my boyfriend asked me to move in, he was like, but the penis can't come with you.
Oh. He was intimidated by the massive penis.
Yeah, who
can compare? So what did you do? Did you get rid of the giant inflatable penis?
After much talk, much pillow talk, I actually put it in my house, my grandpa, poor grandpa. It's in the closet in my grandpa's house. He doesn't need to know.
So your grandfather is the keeper of the penis now.
He's the keeper. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So that way, when you and your boyfriend break up, you can bring the penis back to your house. You didn't get rid of it forever.
Right. Oh, no, never.
Okay, I think that's reasonable.
Fair
put
enough.
It in storage, put it out. Yeah, and by the way, I think it's also reasonable that somebody wouldn't want to live in a house with a giant inflatable penis. I can totally understand.
You know what's more reasonable is to deflate the penis and wrap it up and put it in a drawer somewhere. You don't have to leave the penis fully inflated at all times. Trust me, I know these things.
All right, Jackie. Thanks for calling.
You guys have a good one.
You too,
thank
Jackie.
You.
Jackie's
we'll
fun.
Have to we'll have to leave it there. She is fun. She loves her penis, doesn't she?
She sure does.
Penis. Our friend Brandon Boyd, along with his friend Brendan O'Brien, they are in Sons of the Sea. They're making their K-Rock debut in our studios coming up in about 20 minutes or so, talking about the new album in stores available for download today, and they'll be performing live. Very excited. Have a lot of respect for both of those guys. That's coming up. First, though, Ralph, you've got a new game for us. I'm very, very thrilled to play this one.
Well, you know, we've had much success with our game Chloe or Snooki, where you have to decide who tweeted what.
Yeah, tough game.
And we also did another one. What was the other Twitter game we did?
Well, we had Kanye or Diddy at one time.
Right.
We've had a couple of others where we look for people who are somewhat compatible on Twitter, and then we try to guess who's tweeting what.
But I think
you've got
this new one
for us.
Yeah, this one's really going to take off, I believe. It is Justin Bieber or Jaden Smith.
The Battle of the Douches.
It is Justin or Jaden.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the new game that's sweeping the nation, where we read dumbass celebrity tweets and you try to tell us who it is. And this week your choices are
Justin or Jaden. It's Justin or Jaden. They both are big douchey douchebags. Yeah!
I am reminded that it was Kesha or Amanda Bynes
that's
was the game
right.
that
was
we
the
played
one.
Most recently, but the process is the same. You're going to read a tweet by one of the two involved here, either Jaden Smith or Justin Bieber, and Lisa and I are going to take a stab to see who tweeted it. We're just going to try to guess. We have not seen the list. We're just going to try to guess based on what the tweets are, who tweeted it. And then I guess at the end, somebody gets to kiss somebody. I don't really know, or lick, or I don't really know what the prize is.
I don't know
is.
What the prize is, but we'll see who wins. And these tweets are going to make Snooki and Chloe look downright deep. They're going to make seem like great philosophical
wow.
minds.
Okay.
Well, these are teenagers, so we do have to give them a tiny bit of slack, right?
No, you don't. Okay. Don't tweet it. If this is what you're going to tweet, just take a moment. Don't tweet it. All right, here you go.
Okay.
Gotta run. That's a tweet. Someone tweeted that. Gotta run.
Come on.
Gotta run.
Well, what are we supposed to do with that?
Gotta
You're
run.
Supposed to guess, and I guess Justin.
All right, Lisa. Thank you for playing the game instead of bitching about it like some people.
I happen, in this case, to agree with Miss May. I'm also going to say Justin Bieber.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you.
You're both right.
All right.
I was
each get a point.
Justin Bieber. He's so busy.
He is so busy. Okay. I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man.
That's Justin, right? That's just.
I don't know. You tell me.
The
You're
height
playing the
of
game.
Douchery?
I'm not a businessman. I'm a business man.
I am going to. You say Justin, Lisa?
I think do.
I believe I'm going to say Jaden on this one.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was Justin Bieber. That's yeah. right, Justin, Lisa May.
Okay. It's almost too clever for him. So I understand your lead. Hesitation.
Too clever for Justin?
Yes.
Okay.
2-1. 2-1, Lisa.
All right.
I'm here for you. We're about to flip things around. I'm here for you. We're about to flip things around.
What on earth could that mean from either one of them that they're about to... How can they be there for me?
I'm just glad they're here for us. That's all.
I will say Jaden based on nothing.
That's what I was going to say, too.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's here for us, people.
Yeah, I
actually am comforted by that now that I think about it. I know that no matter what goes wrong in my day or in my life, Jaden is there for me.
Yeah. London Town.
Oh, God.
London Town was a tweet.
Oh,
I don't care if you are a teenager. You should know better than just to write London Town and hit send.
Right, exactly. I'm going to make an informed guess on this and just think that Bieber's international tour is over, so I don't think he's been in London recently, so I'm going to say Jaden. I'm going to go the opposite way, Lisa.
Okay.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Yeah.
We're tied up.
3-3. Yep.
Good guess.
All right.
You know too much about his schedule.
That's right. That's kind of creepy. Back with the boys.
Justin.
That's it?
Back with the boys. That's a tweet.
That's Justin.
Boy, what a waste of time. And by the way, doesn't Justin Bieber, Ralph, have like 25 million people following him or
yes,
something?
Yes.
I mean,
some
he's like one of the
number.
Two or three most
he's one
followed
of the top
people.
Two. I think it's him and Lady Gaga are in the top two.
Back with the boys. Okay, I just a guess. I'll say Justin this time.
What'd you say? You want to beat the out of you.
Yep, you're both right.
4-4.
Tied up at 4-4.
Yeah, he's got his boys.
Okay. On a break and it feels good. On a break and it feels good.
Lisa, you go first.
I'm going to say Jaden. Really no reason except, I don't know. I'm just going to say Jaden. I don't have a good reason.
In my attempt to get the lead, I'll say Justin because I don't know either.
What'd you say?
You want to beat
Justin.
Bean takes the lead.
Bean takes the lead. 5-4. I obviously wasn't, and even if I was, grow up. I obviously wasn't, and even if I was, grow up.
Now, that has the aggression of a Justin Bieber. I don't think I've seen as much of that sort of douchery from Jaden. I'll say Justin Bieber for that one.
That sounds like Jaden to me.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Tied up.
Right. Tied up. All right, sudden death, ladies and gentlemen. Next one to get a point wins the game.
Peace.
F-U Ralph.
Peace was a tweet.
I want to burn down Twitter. That's what I want to do.
All right.
I'm going to say, I'll go first. I'll say Jaden Smith. Jaden Smith is my guess.
Well, I can't guess the same or nobody wins. But I think it's Jaden, but I'm guessing Justin.
It's the coolest of the coolest.
Yeah! Beats the winner!
Beats the big winner, 6-5.
That is a dubious honor, my friend.
Yeah, you know more about those douchebags than anyone,
Bean.
Thanks for playing.
Peace.
Hey, thanks a lot for playing.
Justin or Jaden is Justin or Jaden. They both are big douchey douchebags, yeah!
Sons of the Sea, live music and interview with Brandon Boyd. And Brandon O'Brien, nope, it has nothing to do with Talk Like a Pirate Day, Ralph.
Damn.
That's coming up. Also, Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race is going to be
brother.
Here. Right now, Ralph is here with the showbiz.
Am I just wrong about all the guests today?
I think you might
be. I'm confused.
And I believe you have a special gift. Don't you, Jeopardy's Ralph Garman?
I do have a special gift. How about some passes to the red carpet premiere of a little movie we've been looking forward to with great anticipation, Machete Kills.
Yay!
This is Machete.
Hello, Machete.
Yes, it's the return of Danny Trejo and Alexa Vega, Sofia Vergara, Lady Gaga's in this, Vanessa Hudgens, Jessica Alba, Mel Gibson. What a cast.
Incredible.
It's all happening. The red carpet premiere, Machete Kills, October the 2nd at LA Live.
This is Machete.
You'll be able to hang with all those cool people and see the movie before anybody else because it's not in theaters until Friday, October the 11th. So you'll see it a week ahead of time. Five lucky winners. If you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five people who get through, say hi to our good buddy Chip, will get a pair of passes to the red carpet world premiere of
Machete Kills.
This is they called him Machete.
Yeah. Know what he does? You know what Machete does?
Right.
Well, he kills, right?
First of all, he knows the score.
He knows the score. He gets the women.
Gets the women.
And he kills the bad guys.
He kills the bad guys. That's what
Machete.
No.
Machete.
Hey, if you believe the adult video news, and who doesn't? That's my paper of record. Great survey. They asked their readers, which are all sweaty men with their pants down around their ankles, which female pop star would you most like to see in a sex tape? Which female pop star would you most like to see in a sex tape?
I gotta say Katy Perry would be at the top of my list.
Number one by a long shot. Katy Perry came in at number one.
Yeah, gotta be, right?
Absolutely. I agree. Selena Gomez was second.
Okay. I got no problems with I'd watch that.
And third?
Where's Tay-Tay?
Not in the top three.
Okay.
Third was Miley Cyrus.
Over Rihanna, really?
Over everyone.
Wow.
Miley Cyrus.
What, Amy Winehouse?
Maybe just
she's
for
not
the
on the
freak
list.
Of it.
Well, it must be people into bestiality, right? You want to see
something
Miley
like
Cyrus
that, yeah.
Have sex. People into llama sex. Freaking Miley Cyrus. Did you see the photo of her with the pasties on, with the see-through dress?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, from the iHeart Radio
from
Festival.
From the iHeart
sure
Radio
did.
Festival, yeah.
Yeah, just a mesh dress with like little electrical tape on her, right. Her thing and her other thing.
Wendy O. Williams fashion statement.
Exactly.
And she was posing with the Kardashian clan, minus Kim. And the Kardashians looked downright classy compared to her. If you're making the Kardashians look good by being such a whore that they look like they're reserved and put together, then you really need to reevaluate your style choices. Craziness.
Look, I get wanting to be sexy on stage and wanting to have a persona.
She's outrageous, man!
But there is a point at which I don't understand what she's doing anymore. She's just trying to be as naked as possible in public at all times.
She's outrageous!
What's happening?
She's being outrageous! I'm going to hump a train. I'm going to hump a wrecking ball and lick a hammer. There she is. There she is now. It's her latest single. And you can add Larry Hagman's son to the list of people who were disappointed in the Emmy Awards tribute to dead people. Of course, first it was Jack Klugman's son. He said, really? Right. Corey Monteith? He's getting a special tribute? My dad, three-time Emmy winner Jack Klugman? Nothing? Just a picture on the screen? Just a fleeting glimpse? Now Larry Hagman's son is stepping out. Preston Hagman telling Entertainment Tonight that his dad was a trailblazer. All right, easy. He was on two popular shows. But he said, I think if you're going to do a memorial for the Emmys, then they should spend more time in that segment. But if they're not going to do it, then they should do it all the same.
Look, all things being equal, Larry Hagman deserves it a billion times more than Corey Monteith.
Yes. But, however, as well, huge ratings for the Emmys on Sunday night. The biggest audience in 8 years for the award show. 18 million viewers. Biggest since 2005.
What do you suppose that was about?
Well, the show was up 50% in adults aged 18 to 34. Many both people believe they tuned in to see the tribute to Corey Monteith.
Really?
How about that?
Because I was going to say Neil Patrick Harris had a lot to do with it.
He was a good choice for as a host.
Yeah.
But they said many of the kids said they tuned in to watch
the
tribute to their favorite Glee
star. This is our future, people.
So maybe.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America. And it's not good for the entire world. And so, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
I can't wait to see Miley Cyrus get a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars next year. That'll be entertaining.
Well, she was in that one movie.
Yes, she did. She played that one. And she was in the Hannah Montana movie, too. She's in
two
movies. Today's celebrity birthday is Nina Vardalos. You remember her from My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't personally have a Big Fat Greek Wedding. There was a movie and play called My Big Fat. Kevin Sorbo, Hercules. Disappointed! He's 55 years old today. Gordon Clapp. Turned 65, he was from NYPD Blue, played Greg Medavoy in that show for its entire run. I think he and Sipowicz were the only two guys left at the end.
But you're the only one they really remember from NYPD Blue.
Well, sure.
Officer Gruden, right?
My work as Officer Gruden is legendary. In fact, I wonder if they would ever mention me on Jeopardy because of my stardom. I wonder if my stardom carries to Jeopardy or not. I have to think.
Oh,
I have to think whether Beer Munch should be fired.
Val Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt.
What is the Joe Schmo show?
Yeah. I wonder if the writers on Jeopardy say, what do we use? Do we use Joe Schmo? Do we use his work on NYPD Blue? Sharktopus? Which of his many high-profile projects do we go with for his Jeopardy question?
Ralph Garman.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Ralph Garman.
All right, let's stop. That's just
Ralph Garman.
That's annoying even me now. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is about to get very confusing up here on K-Rock this morning because we've got Brandon and Brendan from Sons of the Sea, ladies and gentlemen, joining us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. Brandon Boyd, good morning.
Good morning.
Brendan O'Brien, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's great to have you guys here. I like it. Sons of the Sea, what's up with that?
Nice general question.
What's up with that?
That's a thing, right?
That's your answer.
Yeah. Brendan and I have been working together for a long time, actually. This is Brandon, by the way. This is my radio voice. We've been working together for like over 10 years making records, right? With Incubus?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Brendan's produced the past 3 Incubus records, so him and I had never actually written a song together. And so I think we kind of figured after this last Incubus record, it was time we tried.
So you're cheating on your boys, basically, is what it is.
A little bit, but it was kind of a sort of consensual.
Why
are they
my boys?
So that hottie at the restaurant that you've had your eye on, all of a sudden, when your friends turn their back, you're wrong,
dude. That sounds completely wrong.
This is more of a polyamorous kind of situation.
Okay, like, so it's an open marriage. Everyone agrees.
Kind of an open
marriage. It's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
But we're still very much in love.
So you obviously saw musical sensibilities. So you shared some musical sensibilities. And Brendan, of course, an accomplished musician, songwriter, right?
I would say more producer than musician, songwriter. But, you know,
you do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
And so was it – I'm always curious how these things work because a lot of people get along. They've got chemistry as people, but you sometimes don't know if that's going to translate when it comes to creating music. So was there any awkwardness at all when you kind of flipped the switch on the relationship and said, okay, now let's try – I know we are comfortable doing this over here. Now let's try this over there.
Not really.
I don't think so. We've known each other for so long. And from my position, there's a sort of a rule in my head that anytime a really good singer wants to do something with you, you just say yes. That's very difficult to find. And you just go, okay, let's see what happens here. And Brandon happens to be a fairly normal guy when it comes to just like, you know, showing up on time and being like, you know, decent person, which is also difficult to find. So,
right.
And I've always teased people. You can't have people you work with because they're easy to deal with. You have to deal with them because they're talented and they can bring something and all that kind of stuff. So, homeboy kind of does both. But
Thanks,
I think
man.
From right away, we
it seemed like fun. The first song we did seemed like, it just seemed like, okay, that sounds like fun. Let's do some more.
There's a song called Lady Black that was the kind of the first song we actually like wrote down together.
And you said, this works.
Yeah. It just seemed like fun. It seemed like this is easy, or not necessarily easy, but, it is kind of easy when you think about it. This stuff's kind of easy. So.
It's not torture.
It's not torture.
Yeah.
I've had real jobs.
for folks who, and let's face it, there's not much in the way of liner notes anymore. People may not be as aware of the credits on a record like they used to be
back when there was truth.
So people who don't know Brendan O'Brien's name haven't been paying attention, because you've produced everyone from Bruce Springsteen to Pearl Jam, Rage Against the Machine, The Killers, Offspring, Incubus, of course. I mean, you've been around doing this for a long, long time. How long has it been since you've been in a band, though?
I always look at a long time. This is really Brandon's thing. I'm here to help him, but I think might have been 21 years old or 22, because I had kids pretty much my entire adult life, and once I had kids and stuff and I discovered the studio, it was over. I was never going back. So,
but you've played with a lot of people live.
Strictly stadiums and television.
Stadiums and television.
Yeah, that's pretty much that, yeah.
You may have seen Brendan on stage or on television with the likes of Pearl Jam, Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, stuff like that.
You were part of that that infamous concert at Wrigley Field this past summer with Pearl Jam,
weren't
you?
They invited me up, and it was a lot of fun.
That was the one with the crazy rain delay where nobody knew
what it was. It was actually a lightning delay. There was like lightning striking the
good band
flags
name.
And stuff. So, that was a bummer.
Looked like one of the most unbelievable concerts to ever be at, though, and the fact that it all eventually came together. I mean, you guys must have just been so happy when you were able to play.
I was definitely, it wasn't my thing. I was just a friend and hanging out and all that kind of stuff. They were very relieved that they were able to go back on, because it was like an hour and a half, maybe a couple hour delay. I don't know. Yeah. It was a long time, and nobody left, and they worked it out. By the time they went back on, it was like 1 a.m. or something, or midnight or whatever, and they worked it out with the neighborhood and stuff. But it's hard to get me to go to a show at all at this point.
Invite you to play. Then
So I hung out. I was a good soul. I hung out most of the time. And by the time I got back to the hotel, my family came with me. It was about 3:30 in the morning. So
wow, that's crazy.
It was fun.
So Brandon, so you guys sit down, you write that first song together, and you go, hey, this is pretty cool. Was the idea always we're going to create a whole record, or was it just like, or did that just kind of come to you after you realized you had plenty of songs?
That second thing you said.
Okay.
I don't think that we necessarily had a plan. The only plan was just to kind of get in the studio as often as we could and
enjoy it.
And enjoy it and see what happened. There was no time schedule. There's no label. It was just kind of good fun,
I'm going to go on record saying I've never had a plan making a record. So
you can't really.
Yeah. It's this kind of is the same sort of thing. Let's just see how the first couple go, and then we'll do a few more. And then if you want to do something else, do something else. But then it seemed to keep going. And
Do you feel, Brandon, like these songs are a lot different than the songs you write with Incubus?
Yeah. There's obvious through lines, but I think that the things that kind of differentiate it are sort of, when I'm writing lyrics and writing melodies and things like that, a lot of the time I'm reacting to sort of musical landscapes that are presented. And, my writing partner, Michael Einziger, has a very different sort of stylistic approach and aesthetic approach to writing music.
And people seem to like it.
And people dig it, and I dig it, and it's really fun to write with. And we've had a long and fruitful career, and I'm excited to write with them more. So this kind of, I think it brought out some different things in me, because the sort of architect I was working with was very different, was referencing different things. So
we're talking to Brandon Boyd here on the Kevin Beach Show, along with Brendan O'Brien there in the band called Sons of the Sea. The album is available everywhere today, by the way, for download or in stores. They're going to be performing live for us here in a couple minutes. If it's not too dumb a question, where'd the name come from?
Sons of the Sea.
Where does any name come from? You strike about 50 out that you can't use, and then one ends up being one you can use.
Comes from the ethers.
You tweeted the first video.
Boyd, is that what we're looking at here? Is that what's happening on this video?
You're definitely looking at sexy Brandon Boyd with an attractive model.
Shocking and weird. I can't believe that's happening.
Shocking, I know.
So odd.
I see that there are
seem right to me.
Some special effects happening. I know that the way some of the stuff is shot, but it kind of also looks like it was done in one take. So it confused me, Brandon.
It is one take. We had a finite amount of, it's called the material that you see filling up the basin is called methyl cellulose, I think it's called, and it's a like a vegetable powder.
Dude, movie magic. Don't it's just saying too
it
much.
It looks like milk.
it looks like you're taking a milk bath. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It looks like milk. Anyway, we had people sort of pouring it in all around us the whole time, and it was filling up, and so we only had enough milk, quote unquote, for three takes. So I did. We just took the best one. The one that you see was sort of the best of the three. So it was one take. Yeah.
It's very cool.
Thank you.
It's very cool.
So let me get this right. It's you and a hot model and a bath of milk.
Yes.
Okay.
There's some interesting, if you will, some metaphors about, because the thing is filling up the whole time.
No, I get it.
And so, and by the end of it, it consumes
us. I get it 100%.
Yeah. And scene.
There's nothing I don't get about this.
Right.
I sort of have a boner.
Hey, easy.
Sons of the Sea is the album. Brandon and Brendan are here. They are going to go into the other room and perform live. Have you played live together anywhere before, guys?
No, not really.
Okay.
We've been playing a lot together recently, but we're getting ready for tomorrow night. We're going to be on TV.
Like I said, television and any stadium.
You're doing Mr. Kimmel's show, right?
Yeah, we'll be on Kimmel.
Any television or stadium shows you're doing, I'm going to be there for them.
Awesome. I plan on only doing TV and stadiums for this project. So
hey, it's worked for Brendan for a long time.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jimmy had Paul McCartney on last night, Justin Timberlake tonight, you guys tomorrow night. So that's a week. You got some good opening acts.
We're sort
of
the headliner this week.
Yeah. All right. Some live music from Sons of the Sea. They are here at the world famous K-Rock. We are so excited, honored that you guys chose to come on by and play for us today. So we'll hear what that sounds like right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. In all honesty, I cannot usually recommend listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, but today I think you made the right choice because we got some very special guests in our studio, Brandon Boyd and Brendan O'Brien from a little band called Sons of the Sea. The album is available everywhere in stores and for download today. And what I've heard is awesome. We're going to hear a couple of live songs. What do you want to do first here, boys?
We have a song called Lady Black we're going to play for you.
Dig
the
it.
First song that we wrote together.
Okay.
Goes a little bit something like this.
In New York, set it back when I was young.
Deep inside, I'm fighting. The shooting is already in. Should I
I'm going to call that a success.
There you go.
Sons of the Sea, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Calabasas' own Brandon Boyd and Brendan O'Brien from Atlanta, Georgia today. Again, the record available everywhere today. They'll be on Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night. You can do another one for us. I think Come Together, the single, right?
Yep.
See. Yep.
Love it.
All right.
Into the room, a ruffled feather, a hint of your perfume as I come together. Give back my heart you stole, chase down the rabbit hole. It's undebatable. We come together, we come together, we come together. So far. Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. I'd wait around with you for worse or better, but I have seen days of you. It's now or never. But the writing's on the wall. If I go off, I will crawl. You rise above them all. Together, we come together, we come together. When I think that maybe I've seen too much, you come around and damn it, I'm out of touch. Now I see you, and I need you on repeat all the time. How in the world did you get to be so fine?
A song with a whistling solo, everybody. Come on. Not enough of those.
And a broken guitar string.
It's all right. That is the acoustic version of a couple of songs from the debut from Sons of the Sea. Hear what they sound like with the whole band with the self-titled album available everywhere today. By the way, Brendan O'Brien, please notice when they went to make the video for that song Come Together, nope, your phone wasn't ringing to roll around in the tub of milk with the model. Please notice that.
That was the first, actually, idea. He was supposed
to have Brendan do it.
Brendan and Brandon.
I'm just going on record saying no one called me about that.
All right.
Exactly.
We're
going to
do a sequel.
That was super fun. Thanks so much for coming by K-Rock today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
You know that man crush you have on, is it Thor? Is that the guy you like?
I like them all. I like Chris Hemsworth a lot. Henry Cavill is a very attractive. Army Hammer, another one of my dream dates.
I think Brandon Boyd might be my man crush.
He's a good guy. He's a
good looking guy.
He's pretty dreamy.
He's pretty dreamy. He's pretty darn dreamy.
Pretty talented. He's got a lot going on.
That was a lot of fun. That's Sons of the Sea, Justin, here performing live on the Kevin Abid Show. Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race joins us in about 20 minutes or so. I'm glad Ralph is here because I found out something fascinating. What are we doing? It's not showbiz news. Beer mug? What are you doing?
What is seriously wrong with you?
It felt like showbiz. I'm sorry.
What time do you think it is?
Just felt like time for showbiz.
Don't you have a schedule? Beer mug. It's fine. Don't go by the schedule. Just whatever feels right to you. Just go with that.
Fire beer mug.
Holy crap.
What is going on with him?
See? You know what the beer mug's problem is? He works in radio. That's his problem.
Let's get into this.
That's why he's a flawed human being.
So we're talking yesterday. I was on vacation. I was gone last week.
Yeah. Worst vacation ever.
As none of you noticed.
You win.
Listen to the show.
You win.
But I was on vacation last week, and the reason was I took advantage of the time off, and I went back to Maryland, where I grew up, and I visited the University of Maryland, where I attended. I'm a proud Terrapin for the years that I went before I dropped out.
Remember when you graduated from that proud college? Didn't even graduate, Lisa.
Because I dropped out. Why, Ralph? Because I dropped out to work full-time in the great industry that I know as radio.
Yeah. What's the one thing that could make Bean go back to the University of Maryland where he didn't graduate?
It's the only thing.
What's the one thing that can make him go back there? What's the worst possible vacation he could possibly have while being in Maryland? Well, let's see. Let's get together for a reunion of radio nerds from the college radio station.
Right. And that's what I was excited about because it was an all-classes reunion.
The
radio station that I went to, WMUC, celebrated its 65th anniversary this year.
Wow.
And they had people from, you know, who worked there in the 1950s.
Jeez.
They had people who worked there in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, 90s, right up until today, many of whom went on to have careers in radio, people who have been on the air in the Washington, D.C. area, people that I admired and listened to growing up.
Jeez.
And
so they had dweebs of all ages there.
Now, why are they dweebs just because they chose radio as an occupation?
No, because they came back for the reunion.
Right, exactly.
That's why they're dweebs.
Lisbeth Cool would not have shown up for a college radio station reunion.
With mostly people they don't know. And
then
you say, what years were you here?
Yeah.
I was here from 1960 to 62. Oh,
great.
I was here from blah, blah, blah.
How
what year
hors
were you here?
Pretty good, huh?
Yeah. That's it.
Have some more punch.
But how is that any different than people who get together as a reunion for a class reunion who went to school together?
Because you're friends! And you went to school together!
And you stayed friends.
Yeah.
How many of these people were your friends?
But
right. Good point.
A couple. There were a couple. Like the guy who hired me, the guy who put me on the radio for the first time ever was there.
It was
so nice for me to be able to go to that guy, shake his hand and say, hey, you gave me my big break. You put me on the radio at the college station, you know, back when I came here as a freshman. And it changed my life because I've been gainfully employed in this business ever since. And I owe you a debt of gratitude. I felt good being able to tell him that and let him know that something he did so long ago made a real difference in my life.
Yeah. You're a guy who won't go to your friends' weddings, but you'll show up to shake that guy's hand. And that could have been done in an email. That thank you, by the way. A tasteful card could have accomplished the same thing. You have to go to Maryland to hang around with a bunch of radio nerds.
You say he's your friend. Did you ever see him after you left? Maryland?
No, this was the first time I've seen him. And that's why I was excited to have the opportunity. And by the way, Ralph, you're going to be very impressed because you think all radio people are losers. Let me tell you what my friend Bill Scanlon is doing now. He's doing the morning call-in interview show on C-SPAN.
That still exists? There's still a C-SPAN?
There's a C-SPAN 2 and a C-SPAN 3, but he's on the mothership. He's on the main C-SPAN doing the interviews with people.
Here's the thing. I'm just saying, if anyone had any vacation time, nobody would choose to get together with a bunch of basically strangers from the radio world. You're just talking about just a gaggle of losers
Why do you think people in radio... Look,
because
you're a person in radio.
Exactly.
Why do you think people in radio are losers?
Because I've worked in radio for a while now, and I've looked around. I have eyes, and I have ears.
Yes.
And that's why I think people who work in radio to the largest degree are basically just a bunch of weirdos.
So do you? Is
just
it because
a bunch of weak ass weirdos?
Is it because you have in your mind Jeopardy's Ralph Garman, some sort of an entertainment hierarchy that radio is at the bottom of? Because we're not in TV and we're not in movies and we don't make records, we're not as cool as those other people. Is that what you mean?
It's not in my mind. It's in the world.
We've said it often.
It's in reality.
We're at the bottom.
Yes.
We know that.
And we know that, and we look around, and we can see people, and we listen to people, and we say, wow, what a bunch of weirdo dweebs live here, and this is where I work. And it's fine, and it's a great way to make a living, and I'm happy to have it, and it's provided for me for many years now.
But let's not deny what it is.
Go, oh, I can't wait to hang out with these people over a punch bowl at the college radio station. That's not an option. I go to my job, I go to work, I do the best I can, I go home to friends and family that are not in radio.
But look, isn't there, and I know we're out of time, we got to take a break here because Beerbug's going to play that show business music any minute now.
Continue this conversation because radio is populated with misfits. It's the island of misfit toys.
But isn't there something to be said for people who have a thing in common? These were 150 people who were all in radio either then or now. How is that different from people who get together at a medical convention that are all doctors? Because that's what they have in common.
Because doctors, for the most part, are not losers. So if you're hanging out with a bunch of doctors, you're hanging out with a bunch of pretty cool, smart, accomplished people.
And they go to those conventions to learn new things, right? To be better doctors?
Yes.
What did you learn?
Well, I mean,
I learned how to put on my cans, and how to pot up the music beds.
I didn't learn anything.
No, you didn't learn anything. You're right.
Look, they had memorabilia from all the way back to the 1930s. I was able to see press
clippings. Had I known there was going to be college radio memorabilia, I would have taken all this back, Bean.
I saw microphones. I saw real tapes.
You saw microphones?
I saw photos of interviews. Like, I saw the guy who worked for...
of interviews.
Exciting story.
Wow! You're just burying yourself here with what you're pitching as the highlights of this convention.
I saw the guy who worked for the college radio station that interviewed the Beatles when they played in Washington, D.C. in the 1965 or something like that. I saw a photo of that, for instance. I mean, look, it was very cool, Ralph.
No, it wasn't. That's the last thing it was.
You're jealous at this point that you weren't there. I think that's what's happening. Right,
I'm saying if you had any vacation time, there's any number of things you could have done with that would have been enjoyable besides hanging out with that group of misfit
toys.
None
of them involved being on AM 65, though. Come on.
You are the king of the losers.
Yes.
That's why you were amongst your people there. But if Lisa and I had the option, that's the last place we would go. She'd be scuba diving with attractive people in swimsuits, and I'd be at a bar with a bunch of funny people enjoying them. It'd be things to do that wouldn't involve looking at pictures of microphones.
Well, I think I've won you over, and I think I'm going to take this as a victory, and we'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat right after this on K-Rock.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Ralph Garman ordered up the flame of fire as Full Bounty host Jake Montrose on this Spike TV show, revived in 2013. Matt,
what is the Joe Schmo show?
Yeah, correct. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeopardy's Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Tuesday.
That dude won.
Dude, that dude apparently
smart guy.
Knew and watched the Joe Schmo show.
At least.
And he took the lead with that question on Jeopardy last night and ended up winning the game.
That's right. I make winners. That's what the
Ralph Garman.
Is. He makes winners, that Ralph Garman. All right, it is Tuesday. And as Lisa mentioned, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight.
Yes.
Very excited. And while we're talking about the Avengers and some such as that, there also maps. Iron Man 3 today. It's out on DVD as we look at the new releases in the entertainment world. Iron Man 3 with Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, available on DVD and Blu-ray. You can pick that up today. Other movies on DVD, The Kings of Summer.
I heard that was really good.
I wanted to see that.
I wanted to see it. I didn't even know it was out of theaters already. Nick Offerman, Megan Mullally. Very entertaining coming-of-age film. Looked awesome. Quattro. With Billy Joe and Mike Dirnt, Trey Cool. Those guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is the making of the trilogy of albums,
right?
The Uno Dos Tres that they've now made in a movie called Quattro. I hear that's real good.
I heard it is, too. TV shows on DVD. Hannibal, Season 1. If you missed out on that, you can pick up.
Oh, so good.
Instead of that. Modern Family, the 4th season. Doctor Who, the 7th series. Which I think is the Tom Baker series, if I'm not mistaken. My favorite Doctor Who. Y5O, the third season, and Two Broke Girls, the complete second season. There's been two seasons of Two Broke Girls?
Yes, huh. Season three starts this week.
What have we done to deserve that?
I don't know. Look, I don't watch it, but I can't hate on anything that Kat Dennings is a part of because I love her so much.
She is really not good on that show.
Really?
Really not good.
But I love her. She has to be good.
But she isn't. She's been good in feature films, but not good in sitcom. Interesting. I guess it's a unique skill set.
Boobs.
CDs, new releases today. Sons of the Sea, as we just mentioned. Those guys were in studio. Sounding Great by Sons of the Sea. Available today. Pure Heroine by Lord. This is Iconopop by Iconopop. Nothing Was the Same by Drake. Mechanical Bull by Kings of Leon. Get Wet by Cruella. The 2020 Experience, second of two, by Justin Timberlake, the second of those two CDs now out. Dream Theater by Dream Theater. And Metallica, Through the Never. Music from Big the Motion Day. Picture. Yeah, by Metallica. So a lot of good stuff for you to pick up out there. Speaking of music news, Mumford & Sons taking a break. An indefinite hiatus for that band. No plans to tour, no plans to record, no plans to do anything. They said they're happy not to have any sort of professional commitments whatsoever, and they're going to go off and just enjoy some time with their families.
I think more bands should do that. They should go away for a while, live life, have some experiences, give them something else to write about, and recharge a little bit.
Yes. Give them a chance to tune up their banjos.
Because they've been going pretty hard nonstop for the last 3 years or so.
And they rock. How can they possibly keep up that pace? Exhausting. All that picking, all that grinning.
Yeah.
All that stomping on the big bass drum.
That's my favorite Mumford song, this one.
All that scratching thimbles against the washboard, blowing into the jug. It's be exhausting for those guys.
So they're going back up onto the mountaintop?
Back to Cripple Creek, where they belong. Yep. This is fascinating to me and hilarious. Everyone's very excited about Britney Spears sitting down at the Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. A lot of people already making plans to catch that show. New York Daily News has a great, great story where the show will be 90 minutes long. That's the average length of any show in Vegas because they don't want it to run any longer because they want to get you back out to the tables, wherever you're staying. So almost every show, even the Broadway shows they bring there, they will edit them down to make them 90 minutes with no intermission so that they can get you back out on the gambling floor. Makes good sense to me. 21 songs, 90 minutes. Keep in mind, she will be making $15 million a year.
Yes. Okay.
Britney won't be singing any of them.
I don't understand.
Are you saying it's all voices?
The entire concert, Lisa, will be lip-synced.
Oh, that's terrible.
A lip-synced show is coming from a confidential source with the New York Daily News.
I have so little interest in seeing somebody lip-sync to their hits.
Naturally, a spokesperson for Britney says that's not true. She's been doing vocal training for months. They claim you'll be able to see and hear it for yourself when Britney's first run of shows begin at the end of the year, December the 27th. However, this source is standing by their story and says she is going to just lip sync and dance to her hits.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through?
Sorry, Chris.
She's a human!
I'm not saying she's not human. I'm just saying.
Now, it's not uncommon for those acts that do a lot of dance and choreography in their show to sing along with vocal tracks, right?
Yes.
They sing live, but they're kind of also just assisting themselves. Will she at least be doing that, or will she just not even try? Will she not even pretend to be lip-syncing?
According to the New York Daily News, lip-sync the entire concert. That's what they're saying. 21 songs, 90 minutes. She won't be singing any of them. Guess we'll have to wait and see for ourselves in December. Was that a show you would go to, Bean?
Yeah, I would like to see the Britney Spears show. Absolutely.
You and the rest of the AM 40 crowd will get down there and have your next reunion there in Vegas.
If I were there and I had the time, sure, why not? How about you?
I think I'd pass.
Really? She has so many songs that I love, though.
Yeah. They exist on CDs and stuff, right?
I'm good.
You can listen.
You're good too, Lee. You're gonna pass as well, Lisa.
iTunes still is around, right? They still exist. Today's celebrity birthdays: Nia Vardalos is 51 years old today. She's the actress and writer best known for My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Kevin Sorbo, speaking of Greeks, he was Hercules, 55 years old. And Gordon Clapp, who I believe has eaten Greek food at some point in his life, he is 65 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
He is the handsome and charming and inspirational host of CBS's The Amazing Race, debuting for a brand new season this coming Sunday night. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our good friend, Emmy loser, Phil Kogan.
Phil! Yeah!
thank
Welcome
you.
To the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me back. I'm always surprised when you ask me back again. Oh, wow, really? They want me to come back again?
We like usually you, Bill.
We don't usually invite the Emmy losers in. Usually it's, you know, only winners get wings and only only Emmy winners. We had Carson Daly here in our studio just yesterday flaunting his Emmy for The Voice. I was very sad for you, but you guys had a pretty nice run at the
Emmys, we had an extraordinary run, and, you know, congratulations to The Voice. I mean, I think it's well-deserved, and they should be ecstatic. I mean, it's nice to see something fresh and different come out on the screens, and I enjoyed the chair aspect of The Voice. I think it's, you know, it was a cool twist, so to speak.
To not be able to see them.
Yeah. But, so
I want to start. I want to start a feud here, though. But Carson's a pussy for just standing there backstage in a suit when you're out there touring the world, right? I mean, you're still a better person than he is.
You work way harder.
Ah, boy. Look, it's such a different gig, right? I mean, making a show in a studio compared to making a show where you travel around the world, or Jeff who goes to an island and who's stuck there for weeks on end. You know, a thing I like about our show is that we're actually moving. So, like, Jeff actually goes to an island and he sits there on, you know, they're based in one place. I think I would go stir crazy.
Yeah. You don't like to be in any place longer than 6 hours.
I love it. Well, sometimes that's literally what it is. I mean, we'll fly into, you know, a place like Azerbaijan, and we were on the ground maybe 12 hours, and then you're on a flight and you go to the next place. And so I love that part of it. And then being in a studio, like doing The Voice or doing Idol, that's a whole different gig again. And, you know, those guys get to wear the nice suits and the nice shirts and everything. And, you know, every time I go into studio, people go, wow, you look so much better, because you get makeup when you go into studio. I don't get that when I'm on the road.
This is the 23rd round of The Amazing Race. Is that right, Phil?
Yeah, 13 years and 23 seasons. We're going to head out to shoot our 24th season, and we've gone around the world different ways. We've gone east to west and west to east, and the fact that we get to keep doing this is extraordinary.
People love watching it. It's fascinating.
It is. It's one of the most remarkable shows in the history of TV, and I don't think that's hyperbole when I say that. I mean, it really is incredible what you guys are able to do and what you make your contestants do. Have you ever considered, you know, because a guy like anyone who travels a lot for work, 5, 6, 7 years in, I can see them going, wow, I'd really like to spend more time at home. Have you ever considered walking away and handing it over to someone else?
I have traveled all my life since I was 3. I love traveling. When I see a plane flying overhead, I kind of think, oh, maybe I'm meant to be on the plane. Like, seriously, I have that feeling. I think I'd go stir crazy if I was not traveling. So it's sort of perfect for me. My mom and dad gave me the travel bug early, because my dad was a plant scientist. My mom's a music teacher. And so we lived in Colombia for a while. We traveled to Belize when I was a kid, all through the Caribbean, to China. My dad was being an agricultural advisor, got us to travel, and I got to meet all these really interesting people. So it's just part of me. So I feel blessed that I actually get paid to do the thing that I probably love more than anything else, which is traveling and meeting interesting people.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. This is Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race, and we have a lot of questions about the new season that starts Sunday that we are going to get to. But because you've been able to travel so much, are you frustrated when you talk to people who have only ever been in America and that's their worldview, is just living in one country and knowing one way of life?
I'm not so much frustrated, but I feel anxious that perhaps some people don't entertain the idea of going overseas, because I just know there's so much out there for them to see, and that if they had the opportunity, that they would understand or have a different perspective. So it sort of saddens me in a way, because I want to open their eyes to the opportunity. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there is so much in America that people think that everything is here, and there's a tremendous amount here. When you come from a small place like New Zealand, which is where I come from, you are at the bottom of the world, and you have to travel to all those places you've read about around the world. You have to get out, and it's sort of a customary thing to go do what we call an OE, which is an overseas experience. As soon as you finish high school, you pack up your backpack and you go to Europe, and you bum it around Europe, and you catch the train, and you have that overseas experience before you go to college, before you go to university. So I only get sort of not frustrated as much as, oh man, if you only knew. That's why that line I say at the beginning of The Amazing Race, the world is waiting for you, was a line that I came up with in season one, because the world really is waiting for people. And unfortunately, so much of what we see in the world is a reflection of, or what we think about the rest of the world is a reflection of what we see on the evening news, because when it bleeds, it leads. And because when something is going wrong, it's shown. And so people's perception of the rest of the world is, why would I want to go overseas? Because people are killing themselves. There's natural disasters, and it's a disaster all around
the
world.
That's a good point. That's a good point. That's the only stuff that gets shown, because a beautiful, peaceful year in name a country doesn't make news. Right.
Bhutan. I mean, the Bhutan Archery Festival, for instance, which is one of the most extraordinary human events on the planet, that's not going to lead the news. You know, right. What's going to lead the news is when stuff goes wrong.
Right.
And
something blows up, right?
And so that's people's perspective. So I don't blame them as much as I get excited about the fact that I do work on a show called The Amazing Race, where we travel to extraordinary destinations and show extraordinary things and show the human spirit at its best. We are one of these unique shows that has the opportunity to show the world at its best and celebrate things that are wonderful about the human spirit and about people's generosity, and where you go, hey, if America is the 27th safest place on earth, then there's all these safe places that I can travel, and it's a very safe country at number 27. There are all these other safe places that I could travel to, and maybe I should get on a plane one day if I have the opportunity, and see the world.
Yeah.
Because the world is waiting for you.
Or get on an antique bicycle and ride around France.
Yes.
That's your second choice.
The hell is Le Ride, Phil Kogan?
Well, you remember a few years ago I rode across America. From Los Angeles to New York, raising money for MS, and I did 100 miles a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the film was on Showtime, and Regal Cinemas worked with us, and we were able to put the film into theaters. And I was very proud of the fact that we were able to raise $1 million for MS, because we gave all the proceeds to MS, which is my chosen charity. So I was talking with Showtime, and I was talking with friends that I made the film with, and we were like, what are we going to do next? So I found this great story about the first English-speaking team to ride in the Tour de France, who happened to be from New Zealand and Australia.
Oh, no kidding.
They went on a ship from New Zealand, 6 weeks at sea, went to France, to the southern part of France. 6 weeks they were on a boat, training with one set of rollers, a team of four guys. They go to the south of France. They catch a train to Paris. They don't speak the language. They don't understand the culture. They don't know the course. They go up against the best riders in the world, 168 riders. Nicolas Franz was number one in the world at that time in 1928. They ride an average of 150 miles a day on unsealed roads, literally circumnavigating France. Nobody in New Zealand knows the name Harry Watson, the first New Zealander to ever ride in the Tour de France. 168 people started, only 40 finished. Wow. And I thought, what an absolutely amazing story, and how cool would it be if I could go back and retrace the 1928 tour on a 1928 bicycle, the same brand that he rode, with the old terrible gears, old terrible brakes and no gears.
No gears.
A bike that weighs twice as much as a modern bicycle, and go and shoot it. We actually shot it in 4K and put it in theaters again and put it out on Showtime again and make more money for MS and have fun while we were doing it.
Did you have fun?
I had fun,
it's
more fun now talking about the fact that I did it. There were moments when I did this. One day I rode 217 miles, and I did this with my buddy Ben. 217 miles, 22,000 vertical feet on the death stage. We went from the Atlantic coast of France to the Mediterranean coast of France in 2 days, over 400 miles, climbing over 40,000 feet. That stage, the death stage, where we went into the Pyrenees, from when we started to when we finished was 23 and a half hours.
Oh, my God.
How's your ass, Phil?
I mean, did you just
let's
get
just
off the
say
bike
I used a lot of
crawl?
Cream. What's
like,
that?
Would you just get off the bike and crawl?
Well, we were at the end, we were falling asleep. My buddy Ben and I, and you know, he rode every mile with me. He joined me across America, and he was there for me again, and it was the hardest thing physically and mentally that I have ever done.
And again, I don't think, I hope people understand this isn't some modern, lightweight, streamlined, supercharged right. bicycle that has gives you every possible advantage for riding. This is old school. This is 80 years ago of technology yeah. that you ride.
And I found the exact brand. It took me a year to find the bike. And then I had to get it all modified and put new bearings in it and build this bike. It was rusting literally as we were riding. It was brutal. But Sony sponsored us. They gave us 4K cameras, so the whole film was shot in 4K. Angenot, who make the world's best lenses, found they're a French company. They found out what we were doing. They were so inspired. They're like, they gave us $400,000 worth of lenses to use while we were over there. We shot it with two cameras.
Wow, I bet it looks
amazing.
And
we're looking forward to, you know, we want to release it as a film with Regal. They're on board with us again and hopefully back on Showtime, too.
You can go to PhilCoganLayRide.com for more information about that. All right. Phil is better than we are. We got it. We're going to take a break.
Stop it.
Talk all about The Amazing Race, which returns to CBS this Sunday night with a fascinating cast. I already hate so many people on the show, and it hasn't even debuted yet. We'll talk about them and more with Phil when we return on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All this week on The Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock, we are hooking you up with tickets for Six Flags Magic Mountain for K-Rock Day this coming Saturday. Tickets every 30 minutes. Congratulations to Florentino Sinceros from Silmar. Just won this half hour's tickets. We got them for you coming up again in just a few minutes. Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, in studio with us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. The show returns for season number 23 this Sunday night on CBS. Now, Phil, every year you come in and you say, seriously, guys, this is the greatest group of contestants we've ever had. And you're usually right. Tell me about this year's batch.
Usually?
You're always right, Phil.
Okay. you know, I think what's been so great about the show being on as long as it has is that people have seen that it is really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so we have more and more people coming to be a part of the show. Because
yeah, casting is everything on this show.
Absolutely. Because they are your scriptwriters. You could set up whatever challenges you want, but at the end of the day, it's the reactions of the people that you put into that situation that give you your content. Do they scream? Do they get upset? Do they have a breakdown? Whatever. And so our casting team are, I think, the best of the best. And every season they come up with something really eclectic in terms of the mix of people. We have Afghanimals, for instance, this season. So if you think you know what an Afghani person is like, perhaps you want to hold judgment until you meet the Afghanimals because
they're Afghanimals?
That's their nickname.
That's what their name is, yeah.
Yeah, that's their nickname. And you know, they are a complete contrast to, say, our two construction workers who work out in an oil field, who go to work every day and, you know, clock in, and they're in this small town where they said, you know, one of the most exciting things that happens is that the light in the main street changes. I mean, yeah.
They're the Oklahoma guys, right?
Yeah, they come from the middle of America. And for those guys to go out on a trip around the world like this, I just love – that's one of my favorite parts of the show is just to see their wide eyes when they go out and they see the world and go, wow, we are not in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Now, if I hadn't seen anything about the show and I was only reading about the contestants this year, I would have to put my money down just blind on your couple that are both emergency room physicians, because it seems like that is the kind of job that mentally would prepare you for the stress that you're under on The Amazing Race. Am I that far off?
No. I think that's you're very perceptive. I mean – if there's one thing you really have to deal with on Amazing Race, it's sleep deprivation. You know, 12 shows, 21 days. ER doctors, life and death decisions while they are sleep deprived. Those are the people that are really working for their money. I mean, they are there at 3 o'clock in the morning making crucial decisions.
Right.
So you're absolutely right.
And nothing tests a couple, especially a couple. And I know you have lots of different relationships. You've had brothers and sisters. You have a father and daughter on this year's show. But nothing tests a relationship like The Amazing Race. I mean, people who think they're in love and on the same page with everything and they'll be together forever, they find out on day one that they hate each other, don't they?
Well, I think it's kind of a good litmus test about whether you maybe should be with somebody, because couples see themselves or see each other in a completely different manner sometimes when they come on Amazing Race, because maybe in the relationship they've never tweaked themselves that way before.
Right.
Right.
You know, they've never tested each other that way or seen how each will react under real stress. So that is a real science experiment in a way.
You have some former athletes again in this this group, including a couple of former NFL players. What has your experience been, if you can give me an overview on how professional athletes have done on your show throughout the years, Phil?
Well, you know, professional athletes are obviously used to pressure. They're used to being able to perform when it really matters. But also sometimes athletes come into this and they think, hey, I'm a professional athlete. I played in the NFL or I played in the NBA or I'm used to playing at the highest level. And let's face it, to get into any of the major leagues, you have to be the elite of the elite. But that physical part of it and having those particular skills, those attributes to being at that top level in sport is very different from, you know, because you think about it. They look after their nutrition. They look after their sleep. They really well looked after. They're rubbed down. They're massaged. They're treated nicely. They drive to the game in a nice car. hey, take it easy. Let's hydrate. Stuff. Let's do this. Now, all of a sudden, you take a big 265-pound guy and you put him in a place like Bangladesh where it's hotter than hell, where he's really dehydrated, where he is grumpy because he hasn't slept. He's been sitting in coach at, 6'5" and hasn't been able to stretch out, and he's got cramps. And now he's got all these people around him. It's a very different playing field. So it's very interesting to watch.
Yeah, your show is different from anything we will ever experience in our real lives. All right, a couple more groups I want to ask you about, Phil. You really amped the hotness on this week's show that debuts on Sunday night.
Who are you alluding to here?
Pretty hot ones.
Well,
last
first
season.
Of all, First of all, you've got Major League Baseball wives. You've got two of them as a team. You also have the girls that are coming in on our show next week. I think Allison and Ashley are coming in, who are Los Angeles Kings crew girls.
Yes.
They're unbelievably hot. They're together on the show, and you're sending them to lots of warm weather places, I hope.
Yes.
I did see a shot of bikinis.
I got your email. And I got your email and totally understood. Actually, you will see them in a bikini.
Okay.
I think within,
first
20 minutes into the show.
Okay, hook them early.
There was this crazy thing that happened where, without giving too much away, where they were asked to do a challenge in a very hot place. And one team decided that they were going to do this challenge in their bikinis.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, the other teams decided that because the one team was doing the challenge in their bikinis.
Yes, go on.
They would do it in their bikinis too. And
sold.
All of a sudden, there were a lot of bikinis, a lot of hot bodies, sweat, and excitement.
Phil, you go to...
I was
Chile?
Transported into like some weird video
that
just then.
It did become Penthouse Forum.
Yes, I'm sorry. We need to move on. I like how you killed the music immediately.
You're going to Chile on Sunday night. Where else are you hitting this season?
Well, we love the contrast. You know, we love hot and cold. We go to Lisbon, Portugal, which is stunning. So much history, and then we head to Norway and Viking country. Mm-hmm. Beautiful fjords. Amazing Race really is about contrasting different parts of the world. And the idea that in such a short amount of time, you are, as a viewer, seeing so much is a huge part of what makes the show work. So,
it's the greatest travel show ever. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It makes me want to quit my job and travel the world.
Don't do that.
Was this shot over the summer?
Yeah. We shoot pretty much twice a year. We shoot during the summer, and then we shoot one in the winter.
Okay.
And they're quite different, you know, the looks, obviously.
The 23rd season of The Amazing Race premieres this Sunday night at 8 o'clock on CBS. It's always great. You never fail us. And he is the most inspirational Emmy loser I've ever met. Phil Kogan, ladies and gentlemen, from The Amazing Race, stopping by the Kevin Bean Show today. We'll see you soon, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Fire Beer Mug.
There's Muse on K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Jeopardy's Ralph Garman?
Speaking of Beer Mug, I want to give away some tickets to the very special K-Rock Microbrew Party happening this Saturday at Santa Anita Racetrack.
Yay!
In beautiful Arcadia, California. It's a very cool event. There are 25 different microbrews there and gourmet beers you can check out. It's just $5. $5 for general admission. College students get in free if you have a student
ridiculous.
ID. How about
so
that?
Cheap.
Such a great deal. You get to play the ponies all day long. Shiny Toy Guns will be performing along with another band called Lose Control. And there's going to be a whole bunch of our K-Rock family there on site. Stryker will be there, Dave the King of Mexico, Nicole Alvarez, Cat Corbett, Steve, Omar, Lightning, and Beer Mug just canceled. He won't be there.
Why does he hate the kids?
Who cares? That's a win. That's a win for everybody who's going on Saturday. It's a big win.
There were some people who may have been thinking about going to Santa Anita this weekend, but thought, Beer Mug.
Do I really want to run to Beer Mug? No.
And now they realize the air is going to be just smelling so fresh.
The coast is clear. There's no reason for you not to go to the microbrew party this weekend at Santa Anita. Saturday, September the 28th, doors open. I'm assuming, it doesn't say here, but usually 10 a.m. is when things kick off, and you can spend the whole day there. It's a beautiful day outside, and you just have a good time. I want to give away a four-pack of tickets right now to two lucky winners. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers through at that number will get a four-pack of tickets. You get to bring three of your friends. And we'll also throw in $106.7 that you can play the ponies with. How about that? Free money. Free money to gamble with. You could make thousands of dollars with that $106.7, and it won't cost you a dime.
Just for the record, Ralph, I would go, but I got to up my flow this weekend because it's low. I can't. Back to you.
Why did you interrupt to say that, Bear Mug? How did you think that comment was going to help our show?
I just want to let people know that I respect the Santa Anita event we have every year, and I like going. So I'm not trying to tell them that I'm not too good for it.
No one thought that. There was no danger of anyone thinking you were too good for anything. Trust me. I've had it.
Yeah, you done. You just wrap it up.
He's on my neck, man. Zoe Deschanel is adorable.
Yes, she is.
All right, next story. Now, the reason I say that is because she did an interview with Us Weekly magazine saying that often she gets mistaken for, who would you guess? People come up to her and say, oh, I love you.
I don't know.
Emily Deschanel, I would guess.
No.
Oh.
No. They come up and say, oh, I love your new song, Roar, for example.
Oh, they think she looks like Katy Perry.
They think she's Katy Perry all the time.
Must be the big eyes.
And Zoe says she can't bring herself to disappoint them, so she signs Katy Perry's autograph. Whenever she's asked.
Isn't she nice?
Doesn't want to disappoint anyone, so she plays along and claims that she's Katy Perry when they come up to her.
Wouldn't you be offended if you were her? I mean, she's famous enough that people should recognize her for Zoe Deschanel.
But they're not coming up and saying, oh, you're Khloe Kardashian. I love keeping up with the Kardashians.
They're confusing her with someone else pretty, but she's also a very successful musician and actress in her own right. I don't know. I would feel like at some point I would want people to recognize me, I guess.
Sure, but if you have to mistake for someone, at least it's a superstar who's who's a huge star in her chosen profession.
And very pretty, yeah.
Could be worse. Speaking of very pretty, Olivia Wilde tells Allure magazine how she met her future husband, Jason Sudeikis. They met on the set of Saturday Night Live several months before they started dating. But she says he never asked her out. She had to make the first move. Gave her phone number to a male friend, said, please give this to Jason. On the paper was written her number and just two words, use it.
Well, she says that.
I'm using
You're
it.
Using
Whatever
it.
She wants me to use, I'm using it. It approached. They got engaged last January, so it all worked.
Lisa, have you ever asked a man out?
No, I don't think I have. It never worked well for me. Like, I remember in school having a crush on a guy and sort of trying to make that work, and it just never did. For some women, it does.
Some women can get the signal across.
Yeah.
Right.
Just put them on the glass.
That's what I do now. So
I guess everybody does love Dick.
That's how you get that information out there. Great ratings for the second to last Breaking Bad episode. They did very well considering they're up against, first of all, the Emmys, then Sunday Night Football, and the series finale of Showtime's Dexter. Breaking Bad still managed to pull in 6.6 million viewers.
That's huge, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Along with getting its first Emmy as a series and Best Supporting Actress Emmy, of course, for Anna Gunn. Who, by the way, is just skin and bones now. Have you seen that again?
I know. She looks so tiny on the Emmys. I'm surprised there's not an executive at AMC who's going, guys, the ratings are so good, we have to figure out a way to get Breaking Bad to stick around. Come on, let's do another one.
Well, they're doing the spinoff with Bob Odenkirk's character, so something to say for that. Over on Showtime, by the way, Dexter managed to pull in 2.8 million viewers. Good numbers for its finale as well. And Ray Donovan also doing well over there on Showtime. Good numbers for that show as well. Did you see the finale of Ray Donovan, by the way?
I haven't seen it yet.
Man, what a great finale that was. Good stuff. New movies in the works. Hollywood Reporter says a new film from the same guy who gave us The Blair Witch Project has been announced. It's terrifying just thinking about it. It's called Under the Bed. And it is a story of a stalker who takes up residence underneath the bed of his female target.
You are all going to die tonight.
Subtly manipulating her life until ultimately he reveals his presence. Will you ever be able to sleep soundly again after watching a movie like that?
No.
I would say no. Under the Bed. Also, a.k.a. the Bean Baxter story. You can
How
check
dare
that
you?
Out. And while we're talking about, what's his name? Taylor Swift is in the news. Tata Swindler has announced that she doesn't just want to be a music star. She wants to be a movie star.
No. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Mm-mm. No.
I'm with you.
No.
I agree.
No, no, no.
You're right.
No.
Yes.
Hell no.
I'm on your
no.
side. I.
No.
We are on the same page
no.
regarding
no.
this. Here's what she has in mind. It's according to the National Enquirer, so take it with a grain of salt. But a source close to Tata Swindler says she's considering starring in one of three potential remakes. A Star is Born, Pretty Woman, or Gone with the Wind.
Now, is she just throwing out what she wants to do, or is anybody actually doing these?
Apparently, they're all talked about. These remakes are all being talked about, and she wants to play the lead in one of those three films. Okay. I want to see her in Under the Bed.
I have heard that they have been trying to put a new A Star is Born together for some time, and various actresses have been associated with that film.
Well, yeah, but you need someone with the chops of a Taylor Swift, I think, to really pull it off.
I don't know that she's ready to star in a movie, you guys.
No, what she was doing was fine. Very small parts where she can sort of start to figure it out, but she's nowhere near that.
She should be murdered in her first role.
No,
though, right?
Come on.
I don't mean, you know, on the set. I just mean in general, right? Anyone? Anyone with me on this?
It feels like a perfect night to dress up like Hitler.
Come on.
Make fun of our exes.
Come on.
Yeah. Why is she dressing up like Hitler? That's what I want to know.
Wow.
Look, she has been acting like she is a decent person for a long time now, so she may be a better actress than we know because she has a lot of people fooled.
Screw all the haters and what they say.
A lot of people don't know that she's a Nazi. And since we're talking about pop stars, Adult Video News asked its readers to participate in a survey. What are who the kind of people are who have a subscription to Adult Video News?
It's just got to be people in the business.
I'm guessing. Or really, really, really
desperate, creepy, horny guys.
Fiends, guys. which female pop star would you most like to see in a sex tape? In a secretly released sex tape? Top three are
Ralph Garman.
No, not one of the answers. I've destroyed my sex tape.
Just recently?
No, a while ago.
Oh,
yeah.
It's probably smart.
I think so. Only had one, and it was, you know, you never look as good as you think you
Why
do.
Why did you only have one, you Ralph Garman?
I guess I was always too busy actually having the sex to worry about filming the sex.
Mm-hmm.
My priorities
But you love
were
being
different.
On camera.
I do, but not in that capacity. And once you make one and you watch, you go, okay, I don't really need to see that.
I'm not going to watch that every night.
I'm going to watch some other people do that.
I'm not going to copy that.
I was going to make one, but as you can imagine, I did run into a problem.
Yeah, we know. You have to have sex.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I have to find a co-star?
Right.
Both those things.
That was the problem I read.
Who do you want to see in a sex tape? Miley Cyrus was number three.
Nope.
Selena Gomez was number two.
Yep.
And Katy Perry came in at number one by a long shot. Yeah. Huge, huge margin for number one of votes was Katy Perry.
I would be fine if it were Zooey Deschanel and they just told me it were Katy Perry.
See? See what you did there? You brought it all back together again. Today's celebrity birthday is Gordon Clapp from NYPD Blue, 65 years old today. Actor Kevin
Ralph Garman.
No, he's not celebrating a birthday today.
Ralph Garman.
He is not on the birthday list. Kevin Sorbo is 55 years old today. And actress, writer Nia Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, 51 years old today. A lot of people bitch and moan and their birthdays today, and they're unhappy with the names of the
list.
List?
Yeah. It's a sad list.
Mean Joe Green from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Does that help?
Okay.
Remember that commercial he did with the Coke and gave the kid his jersey?
Yeah. Sure.
He's also celebrating a birthday today.
Ralph Garman.
Not on the birthday list, but Brad Bird, apparently, Pixar director Brad Bird, also on the list. So does that help?
Maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the panache of a lot of birthdays that you might share with celebrities.
Weak-ass day.
Right.
Although my dad was born today. My dad celebrates his birthday today.
Oh, how about that?
So happy birthday, Ralph's cool dad.
Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman Sr. It is Ralph Garman's
birthday.
Well,
there you
go. So actually it does work. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Jeopardy's Ralph Garman. Tomorrow morning, it's another all-new Kevin and Bean show. Lots of good stuff for you, including more tickets to the premiere of Machete Kills. Also got more Depeche Mode tickets for you with the meet and greet. You know Point Break Live, Ralph?
I do. About it? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thomas Blake, the man behind that, and the new Terminator 2 live show is going to be joining us on the program tomorrow to tell us how much fun that is. Our old buddy Matt Achety from Rotten Tomatoes is going to be back. Of course, they are right now the premier site that you go to for critical reviews of movies. Now they're moving into the TV world, which should be interesting. Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow. And I'm very excited about this. There's a new list out of the most annoying songs of all time. Everybody listening right now thought of a song that they would absolutely put on that list. And tomorrow we are going to be looking for your most annoying song, the one that just drives. It goes beyond "I just don't like it." It's annoying. It drives you crazy.
No, it's not greatest songs ever. It's most annoying songs ever.
Anyway, so we're going to do that tomorrow and much, much more right here on the world famous K.